The other day, I was thinking about the Peace Sorsha versus Borka 2 matchup, and
that matchup's unbearable.
Yeah! Yeah!
I could deliver that.
Yeah, you only said like seven words.
Perfect.
Actually, we could have cut it down, and you could have just said Peace Sorsha versus Borka 2. That's all you needed to say. You needed to say, like, literally.
Can we do that?
No, so, no, it's fine.
Okay, we're good where we are.
I mean, no, we're doing it now. Because we're like, we've just wasted.
Wait, how about now?
No, now.
No.
I can't believe that's becoming a thing.
It cannot be a thing.
It can't.
All right, let's redo it.
No, we're not redoing it.
Let's redo it now.
No, now. Now.
Do you really want me to do it?
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, at this point, we might as well.
All right.
No, we're not doing it.
All right. Hello. Hello, and welcome to episode 15 of Muse on Minis Miami. Colin, in here.
Oh, bienvenido a Miami.
Yep.
Nice.
Sorry, my phone was blinking.
Good news. I think my mom bought me a really, really ugly, like, Florida-style Hawaiian shirt that has, like...
Oh, boo-hoo. Yeah. My mom bought me a Hawaiian shirt.
That's not bad news. That's good news.
So we can wear it.
Okay. Well, you said it was, like, horrible and ugly.
Yeah, that... It is.
Dude, Hawaiian shirts...
That's what people... They're
Hawaiian
shirts
are freaking rough.
Hawaiian shirts are the worst. Unless you're the Hawaiian Punch guy. They're the worst. All right. Or some, like, really overweight 60-year-old white guy, I guess.
All I'm saying is if my mom gives me a Hawaiian shirt, I'm like, thanks, Mom.
Not trashing her on a
nationally
famous podcast.
Yeah.
Internationally famous podcast.
Is internationally famous. In Australia.
Famous.
Ooh. Who are you?
Oh, yeah. We podcasted so many times this week.
I
forgot how to do it. I am Crump, and I play the Circle and Retribution and Mercenaries.
I'm Colin. I play Scorn and Signar.
I'm Adam, and I play Minions.
I'm Fox, Crix,
Lance, and Kador.
All right, MC.
Today, we have a special treat for you.
Today.
A section called Prepping for Daikon.
Wait, what?
Because we're not talking about the qualifier.
No, we are going to talk about the qualifier.
We are going to talk about the qualifier?
Yeah, and then
just mention it, just casually mention it.
So people know it's coming.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like the movie spoilers where they're like, coming out in 2015.
No, we just did.
Then look out, world.
No, we just did. Mayhem qualifier, it's coming. It's and then coming. That's it.
And then cut to black and just end the podcast.
Mayhem qualifier coming at you.
Dun, dun.
Yeah.
On July 19th.
Dun, dun. Dun, dun. Mayhem qualifier,
there will be
it's coming.
A mayhem qualifier in Des Moines, Iowa, Iowa, Iowa.
Oh my God, you're so loud.
The compressor is going to explode.
You only need one list, but you'll probably want two.
Two.
I like that better than the...
Yeah. All right, so we mentioned it. So
you're going to buy the whole seat, but you're going to be butt to butt with some guy behind you.
I was trying to figure out how to do that. Tickets for the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Don't eat any Mexican food before you go.
If you bathe, we really appreciate it.
I would expect to sign up for this tournament because this is the War Machine Weekend qualifier for Mayhem.
Yeah.
And I would expect the sign up to be this week, maybe next week at the latest.
Yeah, I mean, it's June 19th, so by the time this hits... Oh, sorry, July 19th. So by the time this hits, it's a month away from this podcast, basically.
Yeah. So you need to sign up as soon as possible. We'll post it up on our Facebook, on our Twitter.
Yeah.
We'll try and get the news out there as quick as possible because it's first people to sign up.
It
first come, first serve.
It will be two lists, 50 points.
Yep.
Most likely time turns because we lost all of our death clocks.
Yep.
So.
Oh, what happened to all the death clocks?
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
They have literally disappeared.
Fire. Just know John's house fire.
He had them all at his house. All 500 of them.
So in other words, we should have.
What?
Didn't he get it back in the insurance?
No, they weren't in his house. They were stored in like a mayhem shed, and then one of the mayhem employees like lost them somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That makes more
so,
sense.
So yeah, it will be two lists, 50 points. More than likely time turns unless we somehow come on a bunch of death clocks.
Yep, bring your own deodorant.
Death clock welfare.
Yep.
Yep, that sounds good. All right. Now, back to what I was talking about.
Original
the more
segment.
Important part. Prepping for Daikon. Daikon's coming up really soon.
Daikon!
This weekend. Right?
Daikon!
Yes.
It's not this week. It's not technically this weekend. It's time travel.
By the time this hits, it will be 5 days from now.
Yes.
Okay.
So you should all come and be there. It's going to be super fun times. And
I don't promise them fun times.
I don't know what voice that is.
It's my voice. This is my normal voice.
There are two qualified for the Masters. There are three events. One is a 50-point hardcore on the second day.
Yep, which will be a Saturday.
Yep. And then on a Friday, there are two 35-point events. One is just a 35-point steamroller. One is a 35-point crucible event. I believe all of us will be probably playing in the 35-point event. Except for maybe Nick. I know he's been...
Yeah, I might Commander's Crucible it up. The more I think about that format, the better it gets, actually.
Yeah. Mercs, like...
Not just like with Mercs even.
Mercs, right?
Yes, I was, because it's stupid. I don't want to say it, because then people are going to bring it.
Well, bring it. Bring it on.
So here's what you do for Mercs. Like you just take the three dwarf casters, Bart and...
McBane.
In Hybehorn, and then you just take like all the sweet solos that make Colossal sweet, and then you just take Earthbreakers and Galleons in every list. It's pretty dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that.
Yeah, I'd prefer to not.
It's
see
really
that.
Bad. I mean, well, you're not going to because you're just going to play the 35 points regular.
So this is true.
By all means.
But yeah, no, it's actually the more I think about it, the better it gets. Like for every faction that I dojo for. Yes.
Wait, what?
Well, except for minions.
Yeah. Literally cannot
plan
it.
I mean,
yeah, well,
it doesn't
Adam, nobody cares.
It doesn't get better, but it also doesn't get worse.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It straight up does not exist for minions.
So, because I'm pretty sure every single podcast we've deleted this.
It literally has been deleted. I'm actually tired. I'm sick and tired of talking about it.
So this is the
Well, clearly you're not sick and tired of talking about it.
We've had two episodes in the last week that have been
we talked
kind
about
of
it at
next.
Mayhem for the Miami.
And that's not going to be posted either.
Oh, that's like, the long term one, isn't
yep.
it? Jesus,
long.
Don't let them see behind the veil.
They can see everything
behind the glow.
Everything.
So
we are uncut.
It takes us three times to get one. All
right.
Yeah. Anyway, so
the point is, minions has four warcasters.
Jeez, we're actually going to talk. They can figure
this is
it out
really quick.
Yeah.
But Daikon said you have to have five casters for.
They said plan for five. Yep. Minions currently can maximum plan for four due to how building lists works for Commander's Crucible.
Right.
You can't take pigs and gators. For those of you that are like, oh, you can take the whole faction. No, you have to take a pack.
Just like so how Mercs has contract. To select a contract.
Right.
So I mean, like there, it's explained.
That's
you don't
it.
Have to go.
That's it.
Deep.
Yep.
Design a format that.
I said we don't have to go deeper. I said we don't have to go deeper. It's done.
Jago
Jago
will be out next week. Done.
Yeah. All right.
All right. But most of us are planning for playing some kind of 35 point. But we don't play 35 points very often.
Might just go play L5R.
I mean, I can just picture my 35 point and just like.
Yeah, it's just like Elitch, Banes.
Yeah.
A little bit more Banes.
Well, I'm not going to be playing Elitch.
Well, 3 Elitch.
Well, I mean, no. You're going to be playing Denegra, which is actually the best caster in that faction, so, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, think about that. Fox.
Yeah, I know I have. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, like, I'm thinking about, because Scorn, Hordes has a little bit of trouble with 35 for the most part.
Yep.
So, because of how the Fury mechanic works, they can fit in all the Warbeasts they want at 35 points, but then all the support that goes with that Warbeast kind of dies down. You can't really.
The points you have remaining for anything.
Yeah, you basically just take like the battle group and the support, barring some casters comes because some Hordes casters break the mold and don't really need like any battle groups at all.
Right.
But it's basically like, right, you usually bring like two heavies or something, so that's like 20 points of your 35, and then you usually bring like a light maybe, and that's like five more, and then it's like support models to support that and your caster, and then you have like a point left, and you're like, yeah, whatever. So,
yep.
Like that's what yours are. Is just like heavies 10 points, heavies 10 points.
No,
another heavies 8 points. Beast handlers are 2, and then you have like 5 points left for something.
Well, I mean, but that means that I get or it means that in my list there is no screen for my beast.
I'm not gonna lie. At 35 points, I don't know if you need a screen for the beast because at most they take one of your beasts off the table, and then you're following beasts behind. Take
except
whatever
for when
they
it's a,
use, take off
for,
the table.
Except for when it's a galleon. And then they just, or a Primaxium, and they just shoot it for forever away and then pull it in.
Yeah, just play
so
like.
They'll shoot one of.
Yeah, just play Epic Makeda, and then they can't.
What do you mean?
Three Makeda.
Three Makeda?
Yeah, then they just pull in the little Dirtly Dirtles instead.
Ah.
She's actually probably pretty strong in that format, actually. Like, a lot.
Oh, no,
strong.
I don't disagree. Survivable casters, I feel like, are good at 35.
Also, she hits like a mother...
Yeah, especially when they do work on their own. Because if your caster can do any work at 35 points, it just swings the
I was actually thinking about Terminus.
Terminus.
Good old TDT.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like,
that's his name. It's TDT Mills.
Yeah, we know.
At 35
that
shouldn't be played. He's really bad at that level. He really shouldn't consider
I agree. He's actually just a bad caster.
Mm. Yeah.
The reason why a caster like Terminus can see, like, success at 35 points is because... The option, like, what is actually on the table to kill Terminus, like, is threats are just not as many.
Yeah.
And so...
protecting your caster is much more difficult when you have less things on the board.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, like, Ron...
I mean, it can be, Nick.
That's why, like, Ron is actually a super strong caster at 35 points.
War Machine in general is better... Well, is more favorable due to the idea that the caster is going to be involved, and as the game dwindles down, the late game comes... Kind of
the late game comes much quicker.
Comes
in 35
quicker,
points.
Yeah, and then the focus mechanic and armoring up becomes a thing.
Yeah,
much faster than it does in a 50-point game.
Yep. So me personally, I've been thinking about taking Epic Kane because he's like, you know, he does a lot of work himself.
Yeah, he's really good.
Why don't you get fresh in this biz?
Get fresh.
Yep. Yeah, get fresh.
Because I want to play Epic Kane. Actually, the problem is I really want to play Siege, and Siege is also really good at 35 points. So it's like I'm pretty
it's
sure
first
just
world
at Daikon. At Daikon, it's just going to be a coin flip on who I take.
No, you just see what the matchups are, and then
what? What do you mean?
You just look at the field and figure out like what
so
it
I, like,
mostly
you,
is.
Take the crap out of it.
So
that's
any
what
of you
I
guys
did
going
when...
to Daikon.
No.
See me walking around with like a camera
no,
and then like a pad
pictures.
Of paper.
You just look and get like a general idea. So like at the last Mayhem tournament when I played red, it was just like, well, I'm going to take Ron. Always. And then I was just like, how many Gargantuans are there? Oh, 40? Okay, I'm going to bring Ossian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
It will be harder to differentiate the 35 from the Commander's Crucible, though, because they're running pretty much the same.
Yeah,
guy.
I'm such a scumbag, though.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I normally do come up with my list beforehand, so that way I can have some kind of practice with them.
Yeah.
Rather than build them last second.
The list that I played before, it's like, do I want to play Raven or do I want to play Ossian? And then I was like, ooh, Colossals, Ossian.
Yeah. So this was actually something I just thought about because, like, I was playing Signar for a month or two not that long ago. And I was really struggling with them, but I only played them at 50 points. And the reason why I was struggling was because I was forgetting to activate models, like key models, like Gorman and things like that. But... because there's such a difference between Scorn and how many models they have on the table versus Signar.
Calls like, I activated a unit, gun ranges. Well, that's like, that's 7 activations. I guess I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, basically.
I just activated 7 models. I'm done with my turn.
And that's, it's,
ship the time.
For some reason, that's like.
Oh, crap. Stormwall.
Wait. I have a Colossal here. Hang on.
I mean, the real issue is the, like, those little solos that Signar takes. Get kind of lost
sure.
in the shuffle.
The
knowing what's in your list is pretty good, too.
The junior,
I mean,
the
trust me, I know my list.
The junior, the squire,
no
Reinhold. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
So Colin playing Signar is like the beginning of every Home Alone movie. We forgot the kids.
Well, there was a game where I legitimately played 5 points down because I forgot my Rangers on my tray.
There's also another game.
Oh my!
That was in a tournament.
Jesus
oh my
Christ!
God. That actually kind of explains your
Colin Pritchard
Striker 3 lists and how terrible they.
Oh no!
Because you're probably
they
doing...
had all the models.
Yeah,
and I activated them all.
Okay.
Because my games only lasted 2 turns.
Right. Okay. So you did actually activate all of the models.
I did.
Okay.
It was just that bad. That Fair caster enough. Is like a D.
you're never going to see
There's
him.
There's no... Like,
no one prepare for him.
D as in Dominator.
Damn, Fox got
him. Good one, Fox. Burned him.
He's so scary.
Oh, he's so scary.
So, how do you build good 35-point lists? Obviously, it makes a difference between the War Machine and Hordes mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, Hordes take as many beasts as it takes for you to fill yourself up on Fury and be comfortable, but also take some support to help out. And if you can screen, cool. If War Machine, again, if you're a Jack caster, I guess it matters. But otherwise, minimum Jacks and load up everything
like
else.
Business. Business right. at 35 points is really good.
Yeah.
Like, also, so you, if you Dobis. Can almost limit the amount of support you can
Dobis
take.
Be, Dobis be, Dobis Buff, be, Dobis
buffing and debuff feeds, obviously.
Dobis be, Dobis be,
what are you doing?
No, some people will get it and it'll be hilarious to them, and then everyone else will be
no
like...
No one's seen that movie.
Yeah, they have.
What movie?
I couldn't even understand what you're... If I couldn't understand what you were saying.
Dobis be, Dobis be, Dobis be, Dobis be, Dobis be.
Dobis speed?
Do you guys not watch Tim and Eric?
No. Yeah. No. It's, no. Yeah. So, anyways.
Jesus.
So is that, and obviously any caster that has some sort of either a spell, obviously a major spell like something like Crippling Grasp or Signs Importance or whatever, but also that buffs the entire army that is all going to go the extra mile.
Yeah. I sometimes reach for theme forces at 35 points because a lot of theme forces give you bonus points. And a lot of theme forces are also, like, exactly everything you want at 35 points, and then you have to add, like, 15 more of crap points that you don't want in there because sure. you're playing in a 50-point tournament.
Right.
And when you get, like, a 3-point guy for free at 35 points, the proportional part of the army is much greater than a 3-point guy at 50 points. Yeah. So look for theme forces to help build 35 points.
Good, yeah. I never thought about that. Oh, well, I guess I did think about the top E. Is like you know, 3 points.
Yep.
Yeah, bunch of bronze backs. Good thing. cheap bronze backs. That's a really
well
good thing.
Cheaper. 10 points or 9 points is a lot for a bronze back.
I also look for I kind of reach towards those casters. A lot of casters have really good feats the lower the point value gets, right. and a lot yeah. of casters have worse feats the higher the point value
right
gets.
And that's yeah. kind of what I was trying to say, I guess, so, with the idea of the buff debuff to get as much mileage out of their
so, like,
feats as possible.
Vlad 2
yeah.
becomes infinitely better the lower the point value gets.
Yeah. When I won my first tournament scrambler playing 35 points with Vlad 2
yeah.
and I just played Adam the other night with
Gorshade
Vlad
1.
2. He just goes the extra mile.
Gorshade
yeah.
1.
Yeah.
When you
yeah.
feed a unit of Banes into play. More points, yeah. at a lower value,
yeah.
or lower point
Seems
level.
Good.
Yeah, this caster I was actually thinking of, I mentioned before, but Nuresh at 35 points is pretty good, because like, 9-point units of Gators, you just put Iron Flesh on them, and they just become so much more when they, I mean, effectively cover more of the board.
Sure.
Because there are less models on the table.
Right.
So, yeah, like a caster like that, all of a sudden his value goes up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ones, as you mentioned before, ones that can get work done. So, like a Butcher 3. Or
get work done. God, what? Butcher 3 is actually kind of terrifying at 35 points.
Yeah, because it was just like, well,
no,
my
really?
Push forward, pull, and feet and murder everything takes off most of the army versus some of the army.
Like, oh, crap, he pulled in two of my heavies. Oh, no.
Oh, no, I only had two. Oh, God.
I think this is actually where it goes into that argument, not argument, debate we were having the other day about, like, are you going to see Colossals at 35? And I think you are, and they're going to be solid. Like, a lot of...
Eh. It depends on the Colossals.
You will not see Gargantuans at 35.
Well, shoot.
I don't know. I would actually you consider playing the World of Wrath lower the point value gets.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you don't have much support that actually goes to the World of Wrath, though.
Yeah, that's no. why it's such a giant turd.
You wouldn't play a Mammoth at 35?
No, because him with his support is 27 points of my army. At least.
Well, you could play him without the snipe gun thingy guy.
I feel like that's worse, like a lot worse.
Yeah, well, Red it also
Rocket?
Makes it cost
well,
5
well,
points
to 35.
Less.
Actually, at 35 points, I think I'd rather have a gladiator. Because there's less reason for him
God,
to snipe
also,
more
stop,
reason for him to...
Stop viewing gladiators as support models.
I'm not just using them. Lately, I've been using him a lot more as...
I'm just saying, like, score players are like, God, I have to play 8 points for Rush. I'm like, actually, you have to pay 8 points for this heavy that has three
for a
initials
triple threat.
At, like,
have
POW 18.
For a triple threat.
Wait. Have I ever complained about a gladiator only being 8 points?
I personally haven't. I don't think I've heard you complain about a gladiator.
But they're just
I
like,
would
I
never
this,
complain about a
they're
gladiator.
They're just like, I had to spend 8 points for this Rush Animus, and the gladiator never gets to do anything. I'm like,
I'm really getting that.
It's a stupid heavy!
I'm getting that Louis C.K. feel on this. Like, why does my ATM have to be in
like,
Spanish?
Yeah.
I gotta hit this button
think...
to make it English. that first world problem
yeah.
situation.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever complain about the gladiator after the day I sent it in to kill one nomad, and then it killed one round of the nomad, and then two nomads couldn't kill it in return.
That's not that surprising.
I know, but I can never complain about it because of that.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But up until that point, you can play the crap
out
of it.
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Literally all the time.
So do we want to talk about anything else for the 35-point list?
I mean, yeah, just reach for the casters whose, like, feats and spell lists get better the lower the point value goes. And avoid the ones, usually avoid the ones where the feat gets better at higher point
that
levels.
That require, like, an army or more things to affect.
When, obviously, looking at units, look at units that can sometimes operate on their own without assistance or support or assistance from a caster.
Nah. The other way. You want to have units that get bonkers with your caster.
Well, no, I'm saying, like,
because the, like,
he's talking like you don't want it to necessarily take the Winter Guard, like the Death Star.
Sure.
Because it takes so many points out of your army already.
No, that's not what he's saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
also, like, definitely take the Winter Guard at 35 points.
Yeah, they're
turns out they can get a lot of things done.
They do everything. They're just like this magical kitchen device that does everything you want. You know, like I can, you know, it's like a slap chop.
No, it's a bottle.
Oh my god! Somebody make a Winter Guard slap chop, like some kind of commercial for that. Do that. No, like
we can
put Winter Guard in a slap chop.
Watch this, dude! I love my bear strength.
Yeah,
yeah. So, like,
what were you trying to say before your brother rudely slapped you around?
So,
slap chop.
You might want to speak English this time, because apparently you weren't.
No, was nothing. What I was saying is, I think that units that operate are models that can operate on their own without assistance. Obviously, you want to look for stuff that are bonkers with your caster, but having other casters or other models on the table, like paladins, are freaking ridiculous at 35 points.
Like turns totem out. Totem hunters?
They're only ridiculous with Harvey.
They're just good, period.
I mean, they're good.
At 35 like, points, a 2 points of your model?
He's enamored with those solos by now.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Totem
so
Hunter.
It's fine.
Totem Hunter is good at 35 points.
Yep. Yes.
Those, like, things that can just kind of get it done on their own are, I mean...
Turns out Void Spirits at 35 points are ridiculous.
Yeah, if you ever have the point level, if you ever have extra points, I guess, reach for those sweet solos.
Grail's not bad at 35.
Unless you're...
I might
you're
have
right. He does get better at 35 point because my Storm Ragering, like,
right,
my whatever
Lord of the Feast,
sure. If I Storm Rager Lord of the Feast at 35 points, he's killing more a higher percentage of my opponent's models at 35 points than at 50, right. So it's less poopy.
And then late game,
another argument for a model that's good at 35 points. Lord of the Feast.
Lord of the Feast is good at 35 points. Yes, I mean, and then
So MSU 35. That's legit. Yep.
Yeah. No, Cat DWI.
No, yeah,
Cat DWI.
Sorry, crap. Cat DWI.
Also, God.
Tunes look out.
Tunes look out.
What does that even mean again?
I don't freaking remember.
It's cheap. Activations that do work independently.
Yep.
Yes, there we go.
We figured it out again.
There's also more than just 35 points at Daikon. There's also a 50-point hardcore.
Whee! And there's hopefully a Masters tournament where I can play an actual regular game of War Machine.
What?
Nice.
There will be when you feed into it.
Yeah, so, well, I said hopefully.
Yes.
Actually, I was thinking about hardcore today, and you guys know what my hardcore list is.
Like porn?
Here at the stadium. Yeah.
No,
actually, I was.
Actually. Mm-hmm.
No.
What is it?
So my hardcore list is actually just my Rass list. It's Rass, 3 units of Gators, Wrong Eye Snap Job with a Bull Snapper on him, and then a Rassler and a Swamp Horror on Rask. Oh. I'm considering dropping the Swamp Horror, switching the Bull Snapper to Rask, and then adding either Boker and then probably like a Feralgeist and a Swamp Gobbers, or a min unit of Ambushers and a Witch Dock for survivability. There's a lot of because the way that hardcore plays, a lot of people just straight up go for the assassination.
Well, I don't think you would get Rass killed less often if you didn't spend all your fury every turn.
Ooh.
I don't spend all my fury every turn.
Ooh.
Ooh. Here's some ice.
Yeah. I actually play fairly conservative.
Yeah, I would agree.
I've played you against Rass twice, and you've been very conservative with him. You're usually lining up that shot. You're looking for that sweet, I'm going to hit you, make you def 7 shot.
Yeah, also stop doing that so much.
And then he
becomes
fails to roll 7s on 3 dice.
But no, I mean, he's not moving forward to
like,
do that.
No,
he's sitting
game.
In the background threatening it and making the other person play their caster a little different.
It is range 10.
Yeah, it's range
10.
That guy's rat seven for some reason.
I'm not pushing forward with him to do that.
You haven't been. But that's like, always. But it always prevents their caster from getting involved in the late game without possibly being threatened to get shot.
And so obviously I threat less. By taking out the Swamp Horror, it decreases my threat and decreases a late game heavy.
Sure.
Which, I mean, we were just playing a 35, but you saw how effective a Swamp Horror can be.
Yeah, Swamp Horror of Fury can kill most anything it touches.
Yeah. It's Matt 6.
How many initials
has
does it
four
have?
Initials.
Beast of
four
Run.
Initials.
Yep. Two initials, or three initials that pull. So you just have to hit on one of them. So you can pull stuff out of zones.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm sacrificing that, but then in turn, I'm increasing survivability and also adding...
Oh, wait.
What?
I thought you said Bone Swarm earlier.
Nope.
No.
Bull Swamp Horror.
Swamp Horror.
I said Bull Snapper, and the Bull Snapper would switch from... Yeah.
So okay, when you said Swamp Horror, I must have heard Bone Swarm.
It sounds a little...
I mean, are you still planning on playing him conservatively and sitting way in the back and sitting behind a cloud and a Bokur with you?
So
or are you trying to advance forward with the idea of dropping the cloud and then just, gotcha. No.
With the Bokur, my game would play very similar. And the Bokur would really be to obviously collect corpses, but even more of a fact is to keep my caster safe from assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the Bokur, then there's also a cloud, so he sits in a cloud at def 17 versus shooting, unless, of course, they have a way to ignore.
They usually do.
A lot of models have a way to ignore that. But
he's def 15?
He's a 15-15.
Oh.
Yep.
So
you can make him a 17-17.
Pretty average, yeah.
Yeah. But... The other thing that you can use the cloud for is to actually block line of sight by not making a 5-inch or making, you know, maybe making a 3-inch just to block the line of sight to make their positioning more difficult, which is something I do with the Maelok list a lot. And then also in hardcore, having the Feral Geist to challenge the scenario and just sit in the scenario
that
be like,
is most irrelevant in hardcore.
Yeah.
It's one scenario zone.
No, I know it's one scenario zone.
In the middle of the table.
Right. And if... For some reason, you clear the zone, your caster takes 5 damage, and you're unable to heal.
I don't think anyone can kill 3 units of gators and 2 heavies in a single turn.
It's pretty rough.
It's pretty impossible.
Okay, what would I spend my other 1
now,
point at? There's nothing else for me to spend my other 1 point
I don't think
you
should cut the swamp
over. Push out of the zone.
So, anyway. It's really the other thing that's kind of nice too is the Bokur making a leader of a unit stationary. It's a lot of fun because then that unit cannot run or charge.
Sure.
So, because the leader doesn't activate.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there's use for that guy that hasn't really truly been used like that.
Well, then I just go and kill my own leader.
Yeah, and then I get that.
Yeah, no. I mean,
except
a lot of people don't think of that
attack.
Yeah.
Well, you know, well, now they
not
will.
Be able to make a...
Yeah, you fool.
Yeah.
You fool.
So, I mean, but that's also them taking a unit or something to go kill that model to then promote another model and have 2 models not being able to make attacks that turn. Yeah. So
that's better than zero.
Yeah.
Also, your Bokur just dies.
Right. I'm saying... So the point is to... I don't know if it's worth making him more survivable against the assassination lists that are going to be there at a hardcore format because, you know, your major... There are a lot of lists that are just built to straight assassinate the caster in that. There's a lot of bricks also.
Right.
Which Rass deals with bricks.
Bricks. I don't know whether the cloud and the Bokur is going to be enough for you to stop the shooting that you're going to see.
So your list is normally like Rassler, Swamp Horde, Bull Snapper, Wrong End, Snapjaw, 3 Posse.
Correct. And the Bull Snapper is normally on Wrong End, Snapjaw.
Yeah, that seems weird.
It's because I find a lot of the times I don't have the focus, the fury to run the Bull Snapper because I'm not leaving my caster on 0, as you alluded to before.
Yeah, but what are your other heavies doing?
The other heavies are moving up the board. Like, a lot of the times it's Riling. But the Gators are, like, the first line.
Yeah. So then instead of, like, Riling the heavies on turn 1, I just cast the Animus.
Yep.
I don't see issues with this.
I mean, that's only for turn 1. It doesn't help me later in the game. When my Rassler is engaging something and I want to have the Animus on it, like, I can keep my caster safe by having the transfers and then have the Animus on it as well.
Yeah. So this is actually, like, your list is a good example of a list that is kind of a comer-take-all. Like, it can kind of just take almost any style of list on. Like, I think you have a game versus Crix. It's not great, but you have it.
So that's kind of why the other thing that I was suggesting, I don't think it's a great game against Crix, but just like you said, there is one to be played there. Like, adding, if I'd go the Ambusher route plus a Witch Doctor, being able to make a unit undead helps me against Harbinger, helps me against
Going Botrog Ambusher route sounds like the worst route.
It sounds
it's not great. They'd start on the table. Obviously.
Although it makes it kind of goofy. Like, if they actually ambush, like, in a hardcore, like, where everybody is, like, centralized, and then all of a sudden you get these, like, ambushers coming in where there's, like, I don't know, maybe it's just bad.
Yeah.
It's just bad. Yeah. They wouldn't be
they,
ambushing.
Because they never get to attack anything. They're just like, we ambush.
Everything's in the middle.
Yeah, they're like, we ambush.
Yeah.
And run. And then die.
It's not, they wouldn't be ambushing.
He said they would have them on the table.
He would, like, it would basically, like, if he ambushed it, it'd be like, must feet the turn they ambush.
And must get them in my feet area.
Although,
also hard.
I don't know, if in a hardcore, if those guys were ambushing the back of my brick, I would be so frustrated.
They can't.
Well, they ambush,
yeah, I can,
and then they
you
run.
Can, you can ambush all the way
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So
most they're people, not going to do anything to your brick, though.
Most people,
but they're
going to
kill
lit.
All of my support. It keeps my brick alive. Or like
you're not playing
me.
Trolls.
What? I am playing Marketh. Really annoying for my brick if he dies.
Yeah, just move him forward. He doesn't have any guns. No, he doesn't have any guns to shoot Marketh. So you just walk Marketh. So long as Marketh can't get, like, eaten by a gator, he's fine.
Sure.
He's not... I don't know. I God, mean, box
I,
army
there's
ambushers
reasons
so.
Why
I
can't.
Yeah, the games... I don't know. The games that I played against you when you've ambushed with them, I don't know how you felt that went, but I usually don't really care.
Just like,
I'm just like, ugh, Bogtrogs, get away from me.
They're horrible. They're bad because, like,
it's like wasteful
I've played
flailing.
With them a lot.
Yeah.
Just to, like, because I feel like they should be better than they are. They're too high a costed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's
Which
eight,
are they?
They're eight,
8
points,
points
for a full unit.
That's what he pays for ambush.
For a main unit. Yeah, they're 1 point shy of a full unit of gators.
Well, I don't hate your witch doctor idea. You just might want to...
Well, the witch doctor... So that's the other thing, is they're only eights on command. So the moment half of them are gone, they're pretty much breaking.
Oh, okay. God. I think they've done that before.
Yeah. But, like, the idea of having the men would really to have them be back to hang out around Rask.
Sure.
So it's really, like, paying 5 points to potentially keep Rask alive. And then the other thing with them is... getting the witch doctor to be able to deal with, you know, to be able to be undead in some cases. So
yeah. So again, your list is a very it's a very good list. I like it in hardcore, but there are a few style of lists that you see in hardcore, and it is like either you are a brick breaker, you're a brick, or you're an all comers list. There's not really the.
I don't understand how that isn't different than all of War Machine.
Because all of War Machine, you'll see like very heavy scenario play casters,
which you will also see in hardcore because they're just really good casters.
Okay.
And good, well-rounded casters.
Harbinger's
like Epic
really
Haley,
good at hardcore.
Harby, Kruger 2. All
right. I don't think the bricks are as prevalent in right. Well. At least in the past.
There you go.
Bricks are more prevalent in hardcore because there is only one scenario zone.
Yeah.
It just makes bricks.
So they are more prevalent.
It's also probably easier activations. So
yeah,
especially when you're under a 7 minute clock, being like, what does my army do? Oh, okay, there, I'm done.
Well,
like,
if you're doing that, then you probably shouldn't be playing hardcore.
Well, right. Right. Except for that.
Unless you army swapped in hardcore, and then good on you.
It seems so miserable to arm yourself for hardcore.
That's what we did at Gen Con, and it was the most fun experience I've ever had playing this game.
Oh, well, good for you. I'm glad you had fun, Nick.
If I had to army swap...
It was fun, Fox!
Okay.
If I had to army swap the circle, oh my god, my head would explode.
I'd actually really like to see that.
Just explode.
To see Colin's head explode?
Hey, Colin, here's circle. Here's circle, we're playing in hardcore.
Just, you can't play it fast enough.
But yeah, you do see a much more... A higher percentage of the list in the field are brick style.
What do you think?
What?
Why do you think they're bricks? Like, why do you think people actually just, a lot of them take bricks?
Oh, it's because there's only one scenario zone. So, one of the main weaknesses of bricks
is, that they have
is gone.
Out. Yeah.
No, it's just that, oh, crap, I can't, like, contest and hold both of these zones. Oh, I don't have to in hardcore. So I can play my brick list.
I mean, hardcore is also, like, time stringent, like, time short, so I feel like the activations would be fairly easy for the brick list. I
think the majority of it is that they, it's the same.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Because with enough practice of any list, you can play it in 7
minutes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true, I guess.
I think you're right, but I do think that, like, number of activations, like, taking a big gun line is not the best thing because of the way the activations work.
It's fine.
Selecting targets.
I've done it. So. It's fine with enough practice. You just have to know
the math.
Your lists and, like, the math down to a T.
Yeah.
Like, people avoid doing that because it takes a lot of time and effort to, like,
learn how to do it.
Like, how to activate my gun line in the most efficient, quick way possible.
Yeah,
the issue is that, like, you don't have time to think, so you're just like, those guys there are in range of these guys. These guys can likely kill those guys.
Yeah.
I'll have these extra shots most likely. Is there anything in range that I can damage? Like, there's a warjack, but it's a dice off 10, so I'm not even going to bother.
Right.
Like, but people, like, take the time and are just like, oh, a dice off 10 on that warjack? Yeah! That just wasted, like, you know, 3 seconds of your 7-minute turn, which
that's
adds
true.
Up. It's just you have to make the decisions of, like, I'm going to not shoot, like, these two guns.
A lot of the times whenever I play Pita Negra, my opponents start adding my stuff, and that can get really confusing.
Just tell
like,
people
I
what
have
your
to explain it to them on the spot. Like, I'll add my stuff, and then they're like, oh, so you're adding your stuff. Okay, and then,
well, the problem is because other players will be like, let's say I'm playing Krix, and I crippling grass your unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, okay, what's your death? And they're like, okay, well, it was a 12.
What's 10 minus 2?
Like, no, just tell me your death. I'm adding that to my mat.
Yeah.
So I'm an effective mat 8, or, you know.
I think if you tell them that up front, they're fine. They should be fine with it.
It's because there's not a clear, like, where
way
do you
to
add
do
this? Like, and I think it's probably easiest for the activating player, you know, if you're casting a debuff on an opposing model, just add that to your POW or add that to your mat.
Right.
No, it's fine when you know their stats. Because you're like, I'm ref 5, you're def 10 now. Boosh, 5s.
And
they're like, why am I def 10? I'm like, that spell I cast. Moving on. Roll.
Yeah.
Like,
you'd be surprised if you take some time, like what Crump was saying, if you take some time to practice the hardcore, it's really not that bad to get a list in shape to play it.
Well,
yeah.
No, I used to play Carver at 50
right.
In hardcore.
Also,
that's a ton of models to activate.
Now that I think about it, the people that are playing in hardcore probably understand that you're doing your math. I mean, the type of player that's playing in hardcore.
The good players, yes.
Oh, okay.
The ones that are used to it. But I
mean,
all
kinds of players play in hardcore.
Before
War
Machine Weekend last
year,
Finken and I went down to the store on Wednesday night for a regular game night, and we just sat there and we played. I think it was even 35 points. So it was like 3-minute turns or whatever.
I think those are like 4-minute turns.
Or 4-minute turns or something short like that. So we'd play those games, and we'd play it on clock, and we would just play until one side came out one way or the other, and then we would just reset and go again. And you can do that. If you get someone that is willing to take the time to learn hardcore with you, you can just play against each other fast. It doesn't matter who wins. You're literally just learning how to activate your models.
That actually brings up a different point that we were talking about a couple of days ago about, like, if you have the ability to play, you know, at your game shop or whatever, and your opponent's willing to, play on time. Have the time not mean anything.
Yeah.
But, like, just play on time.
Good idea.
If your opponent's like, you know what, I don't want to play on time, I want to take 20-minute turns, be like, that's fine, I'm only going to take 7-minute turns.
Yeah.
That's fine, I'm only going to take 10-minute turns, I'm going to take one 5-minute extension. Or give yourself a death clock and be able to get used to that timing of playing in tournaments. Because something we have, at like, in Ames is new players that don't want to play in tournaments because they don't want to play with time turns.
Yeah.
Colin, what were the original points you were bringing up about hardcore, about, like, the three lists that you will see?
Bricks, brick breakers, and the assassinations.
Assassinations.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do we think that you see sitting down? Like, what are lists that we would expect to see? Harvey, Meat Mountain.
Oh, God, I don't want to actually think about this because now I'm not going to want to play hardcore.
Harvey, Meat Mountain,
Lilith 2.
Why would you want to play hardcore now?
What?
You said you...
No, because Lilith 2 popped in my head. Now I want to blow my brains out.
No, does Lilith 2 actually get played?
Yeah. It's the assassination.
It's like, just assassination option.
Also not that bad in hardcore because there is just one zone to, like, contest.
And all the Legion players are just like, better dust off.
And
hardcore's coming, better dust off Lilith 2.
And you don't lose. by not contesting. It's not like, oh, I lost control points and dice down happened. You're just like, yeah. I took 5 points and now I'm going to kill your caster. GG. Like, God, I hate that caster so freaking much.
Ron.
If people start playing WoW 2, I'm just going to switch to like Mercs.
I think Ron will be a little rarer.
Yeah, Ron. There will be at DICON. There will be zero Ron players.
I think that he would be good in that format.
Yes,
he
would.
I think you'll see a Scion more often.
No, he's like Raven.
Yeah,
Raven.
That's like what it is every single time because the red players are just like going for Mage Hunter.
Yeah, a Scion seems better though.
At Mage Hunter?
No, not at Mage Hunter.
Yeah,
if you want to win,
it depends
hardcore
on what you want to do. Right, because people come into hardcore with the plan of I'm gonna Mage Hunter, I'm gonna Vanquisher, or I'm gonna win the most winningest. Wait, is Vanquisher most? All right, I'm gonna kill the casters, I'm gonna kill the most armies, I'm gonna win the most games. Those are the three awards. That's what they should be called to.
People like, I would think, because this is like to qualify for the Masters, people are gonna be wanting to win the most games.
That's the problem, though, is when you
not
make a format like this to qualify for Masters, you get those players that don't give
you know
a
what
crap
they should do
about playing Masters.
It should just be like most winningest person, most army points killy person, most mage, most like assassins, and then second place.
Yes, I agree.
And then, yeah, second most winningest person.
Second most winningest.
That's
person.
How every time like hardcore is a qualifier. It's like weird because of like the awards, and it's just like congrats. It just feels like that award doesn't mean anything. It's just like,
I mean,
it's like you got 17th place. Here's an award.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly what it is. It's a 17th.
It does feel like that every time I play in a hardcore. Like,
I don't disagree. I just. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
See, Big Shot winning all the hardcores over there.
Well, the only reason why
I said
it feels playing like
a hardcore.
Way, the only
every
reason
time
why
I
it feels
play
like that is because it's a Masters qualifier. If it wasn't a Masters qualifier and it was just a hardcore, you'd be like, oh, man, these are the three players that like got the three awards that are hardcore.
Yep. So, usually hardcores are qualifiers, though. They probably shouldn't be based on what we just discussed, but
they always are.
Who's the boss qualifier in 2015?
Yeah, they usually are for some stupid reason. And I think it's because of the Mark 1. Like, hardcore started in Mark 1. And so it's just the tradition. So we need to rebel it up. And
it's old people and their traditions.
I mean, I'm like, again, I'm okay with hardcore.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. It's just because it's like Masters, it makes those awards feel
weird.
It
is weird that
it's a qualifier. Yeah. Weird.
No, yeah, I like hardcore.
So
I just don't like it as a qualifier.
Yeah. But that argument, because it's hardcore and because there's going to be those players, they're like, I'm just going for Mace Hunter. That's why I started thinking about adjusting my list to be like, shoot, I need to be able to survive this person. Because if you lose one game, say you sit down round one and you lose to the person that's doing nothing but going for that Mage Hunter.
Right.
And like you get assassinated. Well, I can't go to Masters because of that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you still could because how strength was.
Yeah, because
worse,
of how strength.
Stupid.
Is, but I mean, like theoretically, it's harder when you.
How many people are they pulling from?
Especially
hardcore?
Four. Right? No, five from hardcore, and then four
five,
from
4-4.
Yeah.
Wait,
no. It's
six,
six,
four,
six,
four.
Four. No. 89.
Whatever. It's 6-6-4. That's it.
There you go.
Which one's the four? Hardcore?
No, it's 5-5-6. That's what it is.
Okay, so it's six
it's
for hardcore
16.
And five for the other two.
Oh my god!
Yeah, that's right.
Where we are real good at math right now.
Yeah.
So six.
How did we not add up to 16?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's 16-0-0.
Yeah.
And the 16 Commander's Crucible.
All right, so we talked about like what Adam's gonna play in hardcore.
Right.
What are you gonna do, Colin? Have you decided yet?
Yeah.
Oh man, this is gonna hit before people are gonna blame for us. Jeez.
Yeah, they're playing for me.
Playing
they've
pigs
already lost.
How many people are playing?
Are you guys really playing hardcore instead of like Krannis Crucible?
No,
it's
different
day.
Its own day.
Oh.
Ooh. That's one more pre-complaint.
So you can play
before
in multiple.
Yes.
Yeah, and I hope AK hears this and changes it. Right now, there's two qualifiers for DICOM, and there's two qualifiers for Masters that are running at the exact same time.
Right. It's like two flights. It's fine.
That's happened.
It's not two flights. It's two different tournaments.
And then hardcore is by itself.
Yes.
One thing. Is there anything else going on that day?
Yes,
there is. Yeah, L5R, you can go play some Warhammer, Dirtly Dirtle.
There is also little, like, I think there are just little tournaments.
There's eight-man flights.
There's cutesy tournaments.
Yeah.
For little girly men.
It's a great con. You should go.
All right, Colin, what are you going
to
play?
I'm going to be playing a Xerxes.
Because you're a girly man.
My Xerxes list that I've been playing for a little while. that's got Xerxes, Marketh, two Kriyas, Agonizer, two Taskmasters, Wrong Eye Snapjaw, two Posses, and Citrati.
So you want to just talk about that dojo since you just read off your dojo list?
Yeah, I mean, that was my mad dojo that I tried to get us into.
What's the what's the list called?
It's called Gator Ranch. It's
why?
Because we're enslaving the gators.
Oh my god.
I want to... No.
This no. The title of this list makes Adam so upset.
It makes me very angry.
He could change that second word.
Because Adam's actually a gator if the viewers don't actually
know.
If you haven't seen Adam, you haven't seen Adam, he's
like
the scaliest son of a bitch.
Like, if you viewers have seen the new gators that look really cartoony, that's just Adam.
Yeah.
Like, they modeled those after Adam.
I'd be just offended if it was... Where he replaced the posses with
don't go
slaughterhousers,
okay,
right,
and called them pig farm. I called it like pig farmers.
Pig
farmers.
Colin's like, hey Adam, want to hear my list? The name of my list, and he's like Gator Ranch, and Adam's like my people.
Exactly. You should name this list. We got to come up with a better name for this list.
What's a good name?
I think
it's a
horrible name.
Instead of Xerxes, you should tie it into Xerxes, so it could be like total Gatorlation.
Ugh, I don't like that at all.
What
Gator
about
Ranch is
what about
good.
The Fist of Gators?
Try again.
They don't really punch. They bite. They bite and they stab.
Yeah,
you know what else doesn't punch? Citratis. They stab people with spears, but it's called the Fist of Halak. Checkmate.
It's pronounced Halak.
Fist of Halak.
Halak.
Some chutzpah.
I keep
sure.
Thinking,
all right, so what's the idea behind this
with
list?
With this name, I keep thinking of the old Tenacious D song called Jesus Ranch.
It could be
know
called,
why. It
like,
keeps coming into my head.
It could be called Swamp-pocalypse.
Swamp-pocalypse. You have, like, just Taco-pocalypse on the brain.
I do have Taco-pocalypse.
Swamp-apocalypse.
This is terrible. All right, so what's your idea behind this list?
Swamp-apocalypse. Swamp-pocalypse.
The idea behind this list is, like, this list in regular War Machine, not just hardcore, is actually what I built this list for. It models after the Meat Mountain. And the Citrati kind of like work as this, like, they just kind of move up the center of the field, draw in a heavy, and then...
You're fine. Sorry.
They draw in a heavy, and then the Gators clean up that heavy and more. Because they can, at POW 18 in this list, they can do that fairly easily.
I hate the Taskmaster.
Tell you what you had, POW 18 Gators.
Makes me so freaking mad.
Because you want it?
It actually makes me so mad. Because
you want
mad.
It, right?
Yeah, it makes non-Scorn players mad.
Yeah. Like, it's the stupidest.
Because you want it, right?
No, because it doesn't make any sense that
mean,
a minion unit would be better in a non-minion...
Well,
like,
yeah, because
yeah,
yeah,
you
does,
want it,
it
right?
It does, because they've enslaved them, and they're whipping them to make them do more work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. It's slightly racist.
They should
yeah,
take
hence
damage
the ranch.
And get worse.
Hence the ranch. Jesus Christ, Fox.
I would
this
feel
isn't
better.
My list.
I would feel better if the Taskmaster
made them
like
worse.
One
yeah.
point of damage per turn.
That, yeah,
no.
like you're whipping them.
Yeah.
Oh
that's the.
I'm just going to keep going back to that old chestnut.
Okay.
Is that an old
chestnut? Old chestnut?
The oldest of chestnuts.
What? Just
so,
racial. Never mind.
Yeah.
Basically, this list, like, so if I'm playing against Circle. It's actually really nice to have the Kriyas for either the Animus to get, hit a Stalker.
Because,
like, if I'm going at sevens to hit a Stalker, even with... sometimes I can't get rerolls because, obviously, Pathfinder needs
yeah.
it. So, like, if I can actually hit them, either get them in the 2-inch bubble, so that way they're minus 2 defense and I just need fives to hit them, or hit them with the actual paralyzing shot, like, making them def 7... the Kriyas are actually kind of what make this list happen, like what make it work. Not to mention they add a lot of resiliency to the list with their Animus. And then Wrong Eye and Snapjaw have been actually a pleasant surprise in this list because if I had replaced it, a Wrong Eye and Snapjaw with a Scorned Beast, then that would mean I kind of need to actually fit in, find 2 more points for... I need to find 2 more points for the Beast Handlers.
How much Fury is excellent?
He's a 5. Wait, what? Xerxes?
Yeah, Xerxes.
He's a
Xerxes
5.
Xerxes is a 5.
And how much are the Kriyas?
3s.
3s each.
Yeah, he's fine.
They're 1 over. They're messing up.
There is one turn when they both use their Animus,
right.
And Xerxes just has too much on him because he doesn't want to die.
Right.
So then there's one turn where one of them frenzies, but like actually for some reason they just haven't frenzied to this point.
What's their threshold?
8.
Possible, I suppose. Okay. No, I mean, I think the battle group's built well enough. You have enough to cover everything you need.
Yeah.
I mean, if one of them eats it, you're still camping too, which is fine. And keeping yourself on full without having to cut. So
yeah. This is a really solid list. And basically, I've saved my feet. I haven't popped my feet for Satrati like one time. I've only popped it for Xerxes. So that way, like, Xerxes can go, and from time to time, he will clean up what kills Satrati.
His feet does what again?
It makes him a weapon master and plus two defense or plus two armor if a friendly faction models him base to base.
It's friendly faction models gain an additional die on their melee damage rolls. Okay. And while base to base with another friendly faction models get plus two armor.
Not warrior, yeah. Right? So it counts
as heavies too.
Yep.
Okay. So that would be the only benefit I would think of you taking another Scorn Beast rather than
the benefit from the feet.
But you have other support for them from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is a really solid list. So far, I've really, really liked it. I guess bad matchups are like Kruger 2 and Krix are the two bad matchups I've seen so far.
Good thing I'm taking that guy.
Circle, for the most part, hasn't been a great matchup.
Okay.
Because it's hard. Because they're so fast and they just get to hit me when they want to. If they get to cast Lightning Strike on a Stalker, then it's not where I need it to be. So it's a difficult matchup, but I think it's a playable one.
Is that a Scorn problem you've had all over, or is it just for this list?
No, because Epic Makeda is really good against Circle.
Okay. Just curious.
But yeah, so that's my list. That's what I'm planning on taking to Hardcore. You got to see if I can get it all painted.
Cool.
But,
I plan on taking the list to counter Colin.
And you'll specifically hunt him down and
I will hunt you down and Mage Hunter you against Xerxes.
I mean, actually that might happen. Your druids will just probably pull out like my Satrati and then not be able to kill the Satrati because my Satrati is such high armor.
Yeah.
Then you pull out Xerxes and then kill Xerxes and it's like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm either going to play at the Hardcore, either the Kruger, most likely the Kruger 2 list that I've been playing for a while, the 3 Stalker list. As we talked about before, because the list I'm most comfortable with right now is that one. I've been playing it since January, and so have enough experience to know exactly how to activate my army the most efficient manner.
Is this the all Seder one?
No, it's Epic Kruger.
Oh, okay.
With three Stalkers.
With three Stalkers.
P has tendrils.
P has tendrils, so it's 3 Riphorns.
Right.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Yep.
Because I knew those guys were coming out soon. I thought maybe you'd be able to get them out on the table. But you wouldn't have them painted, I guess, in time for Hardcore.
Probably not.
Yeah.
All right. Just like do them real quick.
For Hardcore is highly dependent.
You're really bad with the mic tonight, by the way.
I said the painting with Hardcore.
It's just really 3 colors.
It's probably not happening.
There you go. It's got Napoleon, or pink, white.
The list that
just make it very slapdash.
So Kruger's a good choice because he's well-rounded enough.
Absolutely.
And is extremely resilient to most of the range assassins, and because there's druids on the list, the spell assassins like Ron.
Sure.
The other list that I actually do want to play probably more, just because I really like this list and I want to put it on the table as soon as possible now that the models are out, is Kaya 2 running Getarix, a Stalker, a Pureblood, and then a Gorax, 2 Rotterhorns, 2 units of Druid, or 2 units of Shifting Stones, and 2 Black Lead Wayfarers, because that list is, as Colin said, or as we talked about earlier, bricks are extremely prevalent in that list.
Yeah.
Poops all over them. And because it's Hardcore, Kaya 2 can afford to, like, almost evacuate in his own and not lose the game because of it. So.
Yeah, it's awesome. Alpha Strike and then return and do it one more time.
Yep.
With a lot of infantry clearing with the sprays and stuff. So.
Yeah, sadly, I don't think I'm going to be able to, though. And I have no practice with that list, so probably not the greatest idea for Hardcore.
Meh, who needs practice?
You can proxy them. I'm sure you can make it
work. You don't have to win. You're going to win in the 35 point.
Commander's Crucible took it down.
Lance, you're not going.
No, probably not.
Fox, are you even going to Daigon?
I mean, I'll go.
I'll go.
You're on the fence, maybe?
I mean, the more that I think about it, the more I want to go.
Yeah, it's a good one to go to. Yeah. It was your first one, right, Adam?
Think so.
Yeah. Man, you should play that Terminus list
with the two. Wait, are Inflictors out yet?
No.
When do they come out?
I have no freaking idea.
They haven't been released.
They've been announced on the
release. Their release date.
Also, thought of
also that's a lot of points for
thought
the
of a good name for that list. No, for the hardcore.
Oh, well, that means I have to paint everything.
Oh. Can we call that list Rampage Jackson from now on?
I mean, we could.
I mean, we haven't announced that list on the podcast yet.
Yeah, we have. He did it like a month ago.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the one with the two Inflictors, and then he rampages them to do work with Terminus.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, Colin.
Yeah. Colin's like, Fox's Dojo.
Well, he does that for everyone. He's told me before.
Basically, I zone out for everyone.
He's waiting for his turn to talk.
Fox, you could do Denny Pirates.
Yeah, you could not do that in the time constraints.
Yeah.
But I could just Dojo something up. I mean, this is what I would do if I were there.
So.
It'd probably be Butcher Dojo? 3.
Ugh. Oh, Mad. Or up the.
No, you should take that Butcher 2 theme for us. It's real good in hardcore.
Yeah, play that.
I have played against that in hardcore.
And won?
And lost. Because
what?
No, did you not remember? Colin.
He can win every game.
Win every game against Doom Reaper spam.
Okay.
No, like, I was actually doing fairly well, and then Xerxes was on this hill. Doom Reapers had surrounded Xerxes and started attacking Xerxes, and I was marking the damage, and the transfers that I fell. Camped slipped down the hill underneath of my mammoth.
Xerxes, I thought...
so I couldn't see that. I thought it was transfers.
I thought it was
Wasn't that a Daikon last year?
It was a Daikon last year.
I thought that was
Hexeris. Oh, man. Time for a repeat.
I thought that was Hexeris on Xerxes.
No, it was Xerxes.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember that now. That was funny. Yeah. But no,
why the eye roll in the tisk when I said Butcher 3?
No, it's fine.
Because it's so confused.
I would actually probably play Ocean's 18 and just try to mage 100 people all day.
I mean, that's what Nigel's doing.
But
you're not going to get into the Masters for doing that.
You could if you Mage Hunter everyone.
You just have to win every game. Yeah,
except for the fact that that's actually a really good list for doing that, and you're going to win most of your games.
And a lot of people, like...
And then there's just the fact that, like, there's no control points for tiebreakers.
Yeah.
Right.
So...
How
do they actually do tiebreakers, then?
It's strength of schedule. And then army points, probably.
Huh.
They just don't have...
So actually, yeah, Nigel's chances of qualifying through hardcore
are pretty
good.
Legit. Yeah,
anybody who doesn't know about Ocean's 18, I think they're gonna.
Well,
have
so don't
a tough
talk about it. Stop talking about it.
Stop talking.
I'm
about
not gonna
it.
Give
Stop
details, but I just think they're gonna have a hard time protecting their caster. But somebody who knows about it might
will
have
also
a
probably
chance,
have yeah,
but not a great chance.
I get that list.
All you have to do is get Nigel to go for an assassination on turn one. He'll do it too.
And you'll probably lose.
Yep.
No, Nigel will lose because he's going for an assassination on turn one. He loses.
I just want to see someone get their caster frozen and Shao P Eris on turn one more than anything in the game.
So
that's just checkmate. It's just like froze your caster, shot him with P Eris. Your caster doesn't get to activate next turn.
Sort of why I was thinking about Terminus and Three Gore Chains.
Yep. I don't know. I'm looking forward to
Mechana 3 on my player.
Maybe playing in the hardcore.
Right? It's like Butcher guards. 3.
Oh, wait.
Amazing.
Can you shield guard if you're.
Yes.
Freezy.
Stationary?
Freeze pop.
No. You cannot be incorporeal or.
Why'd you say yes?
Wait, yes, you can. You can shield guard.
I thought we said
I'm pretty
yes.
sure the answer is no.
I'm pretty sure the answer
it
is
feels
yes.
like a no.
This model cannot use shield guard if it is incorporeal, a.k.a. ghosts cannot jump in block shields.
Yeah.
If I'm on my butt, I can't jump and block a thing. Right. And if I'm frozen solid,
no.
I can't jump and...
No.
Yes, it's a stationary.
It's because we're
then
thinking
why
about...
Why can you throw ghosts?
Because...
Anyway.
I don't know.
All right, there you go.
I mean, they still splat. There's ectoplasm there.
I like, think if you...
Anyways.
They should have a rule where, like, if you're looking at a ghost, they can't come
no,
closer
no, no,
to you.
We were...
Right, yeah, shy guy it up.
you wanted to say yes,
what?
Because we were thinking about
no.
the not the shield
Ooh.
Guard not being frozen
yeah.
and the caster
we
being
yes.
frozen.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what we were talking
yes.
about.
Yes, that's
I'm
what we were
sure.
talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a weird way to think of it, but okay.
Also,
I mean, that's
shield?
What we were saying.
Oh, Jesus, whatever.
What?
Does not matter.
yeah. Christ. Next segment.
No, next dojo.
What?
Next dojo.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, we're in Mad Dojo section.
Yeah, we're still in Mad Dojo.
At some point, we had transferred over.
Back into hardcore.
This time stamp this as however you want.
It doesn't matter. Colin it's all going to be dojo.
This is my list that I'm playing in hardcore. / it's Mad Dojo.
All right, so the other
hybrid list.
The other day, we were up in Ames, and we were driving back, and my circle guru, Chris, who's been on the podcast before, has been dojoing lists for one of our local players, Nate Kapke, who has not been on Miami yet, but he's been on the main Musecast, I think, like once or twice or something.
Talked about
Kedor. And Nate is kind of stuck in a rut where he keeps like dojoing lists that are exactly the same. And then Chris is like, Nate, you got to shake it up. And then Nate's like, I am. Look at these new lists. And Chris is like, that's the same list, but slightly different.
With a couple models switched around that do the exact same thing.
Yeah. And then so Chris is just coming in completely from left field and is just like, let's make this cray in here.
Bam.
Yeah.
Slap Nate in the face.
So he came up with an idea for a butcher list, and we hammered it out on the way back from the shop the other day. Lance, Chris, and I did.
Yeah.
And the idea is called the Butcher Boat. So it's a butcher running a bunch of pirates on a boat. This is a very good list that you should play, and the mod for Butcher to make him into a pirate is really easy. You just take Bart's hat and
put
it
on him.
Because he's bald, so it fits perfectly.
Yeah. Yep.
Convenient.
Yeah. You know.
I might be playing this tomorrow at the store.
You should.
I'm just saying.
You should.
I don't have the rifleman. Yes, of course I have pirates.
Oh my god!
Of course he has pirates.
Oh my gosh! You can put a hat.
I played Mercs for a while. I have pirates.
Okay. You can put a hat on his axe.
But I have Amola.
It's just like Butcher has a pirate hat
and
so Mola
has
a pirate
axe.
Hat.
It's a pirate hat for my axe.
Yeah.
All right, Lance, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I will play it. I will play it tomorrow.
All right. So the list is. The pirate boat, so there's Bosun, Doc, Hawk, and Rock Bottom in the list, and then a full unit of Sea Dog boarding crew with three riflemen and Valachev on them. And then in terms of other pirates, there's a full unit of press gangers because they're a really good screen, and you get to make more pirates, which is always pretty sweet. And he has Fury for them, so they actually get to a fairly good melee hitting power.
It's a little...
They get up to POW.
If you AD them, it's a little hard to get to them, but you can always Kador Arknode the last or something like that.
You cannot Kador Arknode the last.
Why?
Is that the new errata?
Well, no, I mean... Yeah.
I mean, they're not, all still in formation.
She's just back.
Yeah. Hey, said Kador Arknode. That's them not being in formation.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Anyway, so the idea...
the new Kador Arknode.
So the idea is that Butcher has Iron Flesh, so Iron Fleshing Sea Dogs, so you have Def 16, 4 plus tough, immune to knockdown because they're chilling next to Bosun and, like, models. It's kind of gross. So at that point, the only thing that's actually really reliable at killing them is, like, blast damage or, like, magic bullets or something.
Right.
So the list, Butcher's battle group is 2 Demolishers. So there's a bunch of, like, pirates humping Demolishers, so they're immune to blast damage and, like, immune to knockdown and stuff, which is actually super clutch, because usually when you played pirates, the only way that your pirate solos die usually is, like, blast damage, because they're in the back. Hawk has Sucker, so, like, she can Sucker main shots off to somebody, and the other ones are back far enough that they usually don't matter. Bosun's just... What are you laughing about so much?
I looked at the picture of the Demolisher right as you said, pirates humping Demolisher.
Yeah.
And so I just have, like, this image
his
of,
arms
like,
open and his guns blasting. Like,
this pirate's just, like, all over it. Just riding it.
It's like those YouTube videos of those guys just, like, slow grinding, like, things in the room. Like, just...
I mean, no. Not slow grinding. They're going full bore out of this
thing. Like rabbit humping?
Yeah.
I forget what those videos are called, but you know what I'm talking about. Where those guys all of a sudden they're in their apartment, they're on every possible surface of the place, just going at it.
Yeah. So it's nice to have like a demolisher that like Hawk can sit next to, so she's immune to blast damage. You know, the pirate solos become much more harder to kill, as well as the pirates themselves. And then the rest of the list is Bragman, because the list is very much so like a catcher's mitt style list, like. These pirates aren't really going to out-threat much stuff.
They're not healthing anything.
Well, because they don't have walls anymore.
No.
You've opted for Valachev. But they're still really tough, so they come into you and then you get to hit back. And the Ragman's very good in those style of lists. Mm-hmm. Also,
yeah, I'm holding back, Fox.
Also,
yeah.
There's a ton of sac pawn targets to all these Def 16, 4 plus tough, no knockdown pirates.
Yeah.
Also, when he gets to be immune to blast damage, chilling next to a demolisher.
Right.
Also, pretty sweet.
How does that prevent the magic bullet? Just out of
curiosity. Oh, magic bullet. No. Magic bullet still gets you good.
Yeah. Okay.
Every time.
Good. You mentioned it as part of the reason why you have demolishers, and I was like, how does that work?
I said the like way that pirates usually die
is
blast damage or magic bullet.
Okay. So this doesn't prevent the magic bullet situation.
No. Magic bullet is the bane.
There's no way
pirates.
We can fit a Brokeur in here?
I would like
that doesn't help against magic bullet.
Yeah, magic bullet's really good in general.
Have you seen the John F. Kennedy assassination?
Right, yes.
Having a Brokeur would not have helped.
Sure would have.
I would like to see...
no, because the Brokeurs are Secret Service agents.
I want to see the Photoshop of the JFK film with two Brokeurs.
Yeah, I don't think you do want to see that.
I don't think anyone wants
that. That would just be a disgrace.
Right, Adam.
What were you saying?
I'd like to see Madeline Corboyle on this list.
What for?
To increase your command range for your 4-plus stuff.
Yeah,
and
could.
For your no knockdown.
And so she could be like, over here, boys.
Wait, so does she increase the command of everything?
It is models.
It's base to base.
Base to base.
Yeah.
It's
base to base. So you go to nines and eights instead of eights and sevens, which is pretty good for...
I mean, it matters, for sure.
Yeah.
I played it when I played... I had her originally in like the Damiano Pirate list that I was playing. And then she got cut because like having the extra inch actually... wasn't relevant enough.
The only reason why I think it would be would actually maybe benefit from this is because the way you're placing your pirates around the demolisher.
Yeah, I did that in Damiano as well.
Okay.
Because they were like humping a vanguard that was sure footed, so none of them could get shot, and then they were plus two deft.
So where
like
where
I played
cloud?
It. I'm not sure if it's worth it. It might be worth it.
Right.
But you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Where in that cloud would you position those demolishers? Would they be right next to
probably
each other?
Like
in the
one
center?
On the right and one on the left, probably
yeah,
like
to hold
8 inches, 10 inches from each other.
Humping each other.
But then where
maybe one further back in like the middle of the table is
right.
Like kind of a late game piece and all the pirate like the key pirates are there.
Would be around that one.
Yeah.
I think you'd have difficulty catching all the sea dogs, I guess. Maybe I'm
yeah,
wrong.
You never catch them all.
Okay.
This
gotta
isn't Pokemon.
Catch them all.
Well,
like
you have
like there's always
a
couple of pirates that are out, but like usually like you know 7 of the 10 pirates are
right.
4+. They're all 4+ though,
and you can rely on
Def
16 honorably to keep them somewhat
yeah,
alive.
Because they're still Def 16
right.
And tough,
right?
But not
four
14 or yeah 4+,
and not immune to all immune to knockdown.
You can never get all the pirates in. If you do, your solos just die.
Right,
like. Because in order for all the pirates and all the solos have to like literally be in like a square,
yeah,
together.
So it could be
like,
a square.
Which is why I thought them in the middle of the Sea Dog unit with the demolisher on them wouldn't be terrible.
Yeah, but then the press gangers don't get 4+ tough and no knockdown.
How are they going to get that anyway?
They do because
they do.
They're Sea Dogs.
Like, yes, I know, but you're going to put. So what are you putting on which demolisher and where? I mean, isn't Bosun going to be on one of them? Is Doc going to be on one of them? Are they all going to be on one demolisher?
No, they're all
way
kind
back?
Of like usually close to one another.
Okay, I'll see it on the table.
Yeah,
well, you need the press gangers to be close to the sea dogs.
You played
so
exactly how you played pirates.
Like the press gangers have to be close to the sea dogs because the press gangers can't make sea dogs unless they're close to the sea dogs.
Right.
Like.
Because
you have to put them in the command
well,
range.
Well, no, because the model that's being removed from play must be in the command range of the Sea Dog unit when you're removing it from play.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Which is a thing that's misplayed a lot with pirates.
Fair enough. I need
exactly
more practice playing
rule,
pirates.
Read how
it says. I thought it was. I thought
it says.
Yeah.
Okay.
The model has to be in command of the Sea Dog leader and within 3 inches of the model that got the model that is Shanghaiing. It's like exactly the same as like Tartarus. They had to be placed within 3 inches of Tartarus and in command of the main thrall guy.
I figured it was similar to that, but
it's,
I wasn't sure.
That's what I just said. Was
no, you said the model that gets Shanghai'd has to be in the command of the Sea Dog.
And it's the model he's replacing. It doesn't matter. It's semantics. Yeah. The point of the list is to see how high you can turn the Sea Dogs on.
Yeah, yeah. So the rest of the list is Saxon and Orc, because having Pathfinder sweet. And then... there's 4 points left. I'm not sure what they should be. I think our current list is a dog on Butcher and Chaosy Eliminators to just kind of run and like free things up. Oh, did I say Eris 2 yet? Eris 2 is on the list.
Yeah. You did not, but that's right. Just run the whole list down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the list is Butcher 2, or sorry, Butcher 1, 2 Demolishers, Bosun, Doc, Hawk, Rock Bottom, a War Dog,
yeah.
The Ragman, Sex and Orc, Eris 2, Pressgangers, full Sea Dogs with 3 Riflemen, and Valachev, and then Chaosium Eliminators. Now, I don't think the War Dog, Chaosium Eliminators, or Eris 2 are necessary. So if you want to switch Eris 2 in your other list, then that's fine.
Or yep. The War Dog for Madeline Corbeau?
She's not one.
Oh,
point.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking it was one. Yep.
Yeah, I would play her if she was
Madeline
one point
Corbeau,
in like
one
every
point.
List.
For the win!
So the list actually gets pretty dumb, because Fury gives you +3 to your melee damage rolls, which means point-blank attacks from pirates benefit from Fury. Mm-hmm. So... Also, they've been
melee attacks.
Yep. Also, yeah. From his feet, they just become like weapon masters. So, if you do the math, 2 pirates say charge a heavy or something.
Right.
So, because of gang, they go up to mat 7, and pow 8 with their hand weapon, and pow 12 with their gun, with their point blank attack.
Right.
So, with Fury, they go up to pow 13 on a charge, and then a pow 15 on the non charge attack.
Right.
So, with weapon masters on both of them. So, the first one hits with a charge with 4 dice. So, that, like, average armor or average damage is, like, 27. So, that's, like, 7 points to a heavy. And then a boosted POW 15 is, like, another 5. So, 2 pirates will do, like, 12 points of damage each. So, like, 24.
Could almost, yeah. 2 guys could almost kill a heavy.
Yeah. So, 2... pirates.
3 to be sure.
Yeah.
Well, if it's a warpwolf, it's just dead, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It will die to probably...
Don't say 1.
Well, your defense...
I mean, if one hits twice, it's just dead.
Oh, God.
So,
but, you know, one of those attacks...
His defense will keep him alive.
This
was also just what...
4 chances at a 7, like, almost dies... Well, like...
Does it use its mat when it does the meat?
Yeah.
For the broken point attack?
It's point blank. Okay. So it's a melee attack, so you use the mat.
Okay. Maybe you'd have to use its rat value for...
Nope.
It's, I mean, just think about it, Lance. If you were, like, up close and personal with a guy with a gun in your
hand... And really angry.
Yeah.
Actually, point blank, you don't shoot them. It's pistol whipping them.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Really?
How do you know? Do you have point blank?
Why isn't he using the strength of their pistol whipping? That'd be just like a club. Checkmate.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God that's not true. Yeah, high five.
Come on, Nick. Point blank his ass. Point blank him. Kill him.
No, it's a pistol whip,
Nick. It's a pistol whip.
So, shot him.
No, but that's my strength.
Checkmate double, double time.
So... Like, pirates just get ridiculously heavy. And so he was just designing... Chris was designing this list to just, like, how can I blow heavies off the table with 2 pirates? And he's just like, oh, man, I'll play Butcher 1. What gets even dumber, and this was, like, a side effect that Chris didn't realize until we were talking about it, is the list actually just, like, obliterates the meat mountain because pirates become weapon masters against warrior models. Against living warrior models. So, like,
because of Hawk.
Pirates on non-feet do exactly the math I just did to warders with the same amount of dice. Or if the feet, you can add more dice.
Yeah, add another die.
Yeah, they're just like 5 dice damage.
And 4 dice with the melee.
Yeah.
With the point blank.
With the point blank.
And those trolls are really hard to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, need to roll 5s.
Matt 7 versus F12 seems like a good...
The more I think about this list, the more I want to play it. I just want to just, like, one-shot a warder with a pirate. You know how good that feels? That's got to be, like, better than an orgasm.
I mean...
You're just like, charge that warder! Kadoosh! Tough check! Gun you in the face!
Yeah,
if only we
could
get
good.
Silence of Death in there, that'd, like, be fantastic.
Like, you don't need it, because you have the, like, you got the gun!
I just want him to not even be able to tough check. That's
and
how
then
much
the table gets flipped.
I might just be, like, switching.
Is that actually one shot? Okay, so
you're going to Kador?
POW 13.
I'm going back to Kador. Any way to beat the meat mountain, I'm happy with.
POW 13 with 5 dice on an armor 21 warder is off 8. So on 5 dice, so 14. So 17.5 minus 8. So, yeah, each of them do, like, 9.5 points of damage on the charge.
So tough check.
And then the other one, you have to do 1 point of damage on dice minus.
Dice off 4 out of 15.
No, dice minus 7. With 3 dice, you need to roll an 8.
Also,
eight.
The return for the meat mountain.
Oh, sorry. On 4 dice, you need to roll an 8.
On 4 dice.
Because of Hawk and a feat.
Yes.
Yeah. You're just blowing orders off the table.
The return.
Oh, my God.
The return on the meat mountain when they go and try and kill your pirates is just the worst thing ever. There's like, activate my freaking warder, try to kill your pirate. Nope. I guess that's not a dead pirate.
Oh, my God. Tough.
Yeah.
You know what will kill Chad more than anything?
If you
Shanghai a warder.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
What?
Mine now. And he's like, human all of a sudden.
Because you go up to POW 14 Weapon Masters.
Kill your pirate. Now I get a pirate. And that pirate can kill one of your warders.
No, you mean warder.
Or kill a warder.
I'm conscripting this warder to the high seas to kill that warder.
And they just get stronger as pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many points?
Yes, actually, they do.
How many points are pirates?
Pretty expensive. Sea dogs are 4-6. They're really cheap, but pirates are 5-8.
Mm.
You mean the pressgangers are 5-8?
No. Pressgangers are
4-6. I thought I said pressgangers are 4-6.
No, you said pirates.
Sea dogs are 5-8.
Mm. Okay, the other way around.
Still, though.
Pressgangers are cheaper.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're an overcosted unit based on like their stats, and it's the solos that make them the nuts. So if you can keep the solos alive, you will like win every game. And
it's
if you
really
can't.
Hard for that for the meat mound to specifically the meat mound to actually get all those solos
specifically that list, because the only way for Chad to like effectively kill them is with spraying them, because he can't shoot them with the guns.
Yeah.
Oh no, crescendos is not blast damage. It's just like a pouch wolf.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
It's still probably not too hard.
And then she's pretty far up there.
Okay.
It's not like those pirates.
Then you kill her with a demolisher.
Or butcher himself.
Or butcher,
butcher.
That's another good thing is that, like, because you're playing the butcher, the demolishers are giant turds in the late game because they get up to POW 19, so you can kill, like, heavies, and then Ragman, they go to, like, POW 21. Even without Fury, they're, like, if Ragman's on the list, then they're POW 18s.
What's funny is that whole time you weren't counting Ragman.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, in the warder matchup, there was no...
Yeah, there's also a Ragman on the list.
All that math did not include Ragman.
Ragman is more for the demolishers, I believe.
No, it's all sack pawns. It's very dependent.
Yeah, he sack pawns the 4 plus pirates.
It's a little tough for Ragman to actually get that far up the field.
He sack pawns the 4 plus pirates, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good.
I think for the 4-point float, Ion and Holt's not terrible either.
It's not. So there's actually 7 points of float, because there's like, you don't need the war dog.
Right.
Because it's like, what are they going to kill Butcher behind? There's like a million pirates between the Butcher and them.
Right.
And then, like, they're not going to have any heavies left, because pirates blow heavies off the table. So what are they going to kill Butcher with? Like, I don't need the plus 2 def. So the dog, Eris 2, and the Eliminators... That's 7 points.
They could become Widowmakers.
I think it could become whatever you want to, depending on your second list. Like those 7 points, we were just like, "Hey, we have 7 points left. I don't know what to put in here."
I vote we buy the 5 models we need
to play this list. Yeah, like we were talking about this. We're like, this sounds so fun. Oh, but I don't play Kator. And then I was like, wait, I need to buy the Butcher, 2 Demolishers, and Valachev.
You could just borrow mine.
I kind of
so like
kinda
we have to buy 4
now.
Models to play this list.
And the rest of the list is actually painted.
Oh, I'm playing this in hardcore.
That would be amazing.
No, thank you.
It's just like, ooh, Fist of Palakin.
That would be a ton of activations.
God, it would tear apart Fist of Hawk so bad.
So, Brick Breaker.
Number 1. Also, it's a different kind of brick. Like, your list is still kind of a brick.
it bricks and it cracks bricks. It's like all these really annoying pirates. It's like, the def thing is back, except for now I'm def and 4 plus def and immune to knockdown, instead of just def gajillion chaosies that died of blast damage.
This is happening. I'm getting the Butcher tomorrow.
You can just borrow Lance's.
Borrow mine.
I want to paint a Butcher too, though.
Paint mine!
He is a lot of fun to paint.
Will you paint him like rainbow style?
Yes.
Like as
so he...
fruity as possible.
Yes.
And replace Lola with a pride flag. Oh, we can't do that anymore.
It's not playable.
Yeah.
Because that's IP.
No, it's not because it's IP. It's because it's changing the weapon.
Yeah, you can't change the weapon. You can paint mine.
No.
And play
I can make a pride flag. And actually, there's already a gay butcher. I've seen somebody that's done that.
That's awesome.
Good for them.
Well, he's a bear, so.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Oh, we could use that as a
bear. We could have.
No,
we're like Borka.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Please explain. I'm kidding.
As usual, during an episode, we come up with another joke.
A big, burly,
bear.
Gay guy.
Oh.
With a lot of hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's called a bear.
Okay.
The more you know.
All right.
Yeah. We'll paint them all like pirates.
So,
next segment, maybe?
How much time are we at?
Yeah, like an hour and a half.
Okay.
All right.
I have so much energy right now, though.
We're going to move
to... Now that we've just talked about this dojo twice.
I love... Yeah, but that butcher list is so fun to, like... Every time you do the math, you're just like your boner just starts going...
I mean, you're going to sit down, and you're going to lay all these pirates down, and then your opponent's going to look at the list, and then you're going to be like, freaking pirates? Is that butcher? What's going on here?
And then you're like, welcome to the butcher boat.
Wait a minute, what's the spell list?
What's that?
We're ready to make another run.
Yeah.
All right. Butcher boat.
Just the demolishers Lance got alone, me. Though. The demolishers are like...
Thanks, Lance.
Pains for other people to deal with them. Like, late game, boat. Like taking an arm 25 heavy off the table.
Yeah, is impossible, actually.
Butcher. I'm so happy that lists in this game are finally getting names. I've been pushing for this for years. It's happening. There's the Meat Mountain. There's the Butcher Boat. That's gonna stick.
Gator
that
Ranch.
List, when Gator Cato played, Ranch. When
no,
Cato,
that's not
that
sticking.
List is way better. Oh, actually, no. That's the list. That's the name of your list.
Gator Ranch.
No, Gator Rage.
Gator Rage, like Gator Raid.
Yeah, but I actually thought he said Gator Rage.
Oh man, Gator Rage should be.
Aww. If only Gators had rage.
They have fury.
Yeah.
That actually, if you say it too fast, it doesn't sound like Gatorade. You're saying Gator Rage.
No, it should be Gator.
It sounds like you're saying Gator Raid.
Yeah, like Gator Raid.
Like Gator Raid.
R-A-I-D. Raid. Like you're raiding Gatorade. Something.
I don't know. But we got Meat Mountain.
We got the Gator Ranch.
We got the Butcher Gator Boat. Ranch. I'm not sure about the Gator Ranch sticking.
There. I'm taking that. I'm stealing that.
Another
Gator
list,
Raid
right?
is the name of our wrestler.
Wasn't there another?
Okay, suck it.
Wait, wasn't there another list name that came up recently that we had?
Swampocalypse.
Ocean's 18.
No, like it's Ocean's 18. Ocean's 18.
Oh, okay.
That's better.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Well, Ghostbusters isn't sticking because you're not playing it.
Yeah, that's like, true.
In time, I just don't own the Feral Geist right now.
So.
Also, if you think about it, it doesn't really make sense because you're not like.
Shut up,
busting.
Fox.
Shut up. All right. We're going to move on.
Yeah, it would be
bad.
Better if you made them corporeal first,
so
and then you channeled
them.
Through them, and then it busted and them, then, and then you could call the list Ghostbusters.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go to Off the Scrap Heap, and we're going to do P. Fiora.
Hmm. Oh, my God. We're doing an Off the Scrap Heap. This is...
Yeah.
Well, where's your energy level now?
Yeah, you should be happy. We haven't talked about this. So we're doing P. Fiora.
Is she a Scrap Heap caster?
She's not.
Yeah, you should have picked a Worth Menoth caster.
Okay.
Like
Amon. Resnick.
Amon.
No, because that guy's easy to take out the Scrap Heap. Yeah. Just like take four Templars.
Yeah. So.
And I think the new cast has done it already. But, yeah, okay. P. Fiora, what's she got going on?
She has like a pretty good defensive stat line.
What's
she's
going
defense 15,
on?
Arm 17, which is.
It's pretty solid.
Like, it's really good,
it's
actually.
Pretty good.
Yeah, she has the best stat line of Menoth casters.
Focus 6?
Yeah, her and Epic Fiora have the same stat
line. Yeah. No.
She's focus 6.
Well, yeah. But yeah. Escort.
She has 2 sprays.
That's the sweetest part about her.
Spray 8s. Pow
12s.
They cause continuous fire.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wish I had 10 sprays.
And then just 2 regular Pow 13.
Truth and consequence.
She has Inspiration Flame Guard.
Like all Fiora's.
What are Flame Guards?
Temple Flame Guard.
Oh, yeah.
Daughters
of the Flame are.
No,
flame
Daughters,
of, Daughters of the Flame Guard.
I think Daughters of the Flame are Titus Flame Guard.
They are.
I don't actually remember.
They are.
They are. Okay. Like so, flame. Daughters of the Flame, Temple Flame Guard.
Flame Bringers.
Flame Bringers are Flame Guard units. And then Flame Guard Cleansers. And I think that's it currently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Her spell list is Blazing Energy, which is a spell I've
never Effigy.
Effigy. Okay. There we go. We got it.
The spell you've never seen.
Pow 14. Yeah.
The spell you've never seen because it's only on her.
What does it do?
It's actually the nuts.
It's a range 8 Pow 14. Enemy models within 2 inches of the target friendly faction model or target friendly faction warjack suffer Pow 14 fire damage roll.
Oh, man.
So that image that we were talking about the other day could have just been an effigy cast on her.
No, it's like that stupid. It's like that dumb spell that Saren has, but worse because it costs 4.
Yeah.
Blade,
it costs 4.
Blightbringer, Blightron.
Yeah.
Blight something.
Yeah.
And it
that
is
stupid
range
spell
eight.
Where you like center it on a model on the battle group.
I don't feel it. I don't feel
blight,
it.
Blightbringer.
Blight, screw me in the butt every time she casts it.
Yeah, same here.
It's like Druid's immune to. Ah! All
right. She also has Engine of Destruction, which is a spell Makeda 2 has.
Yep.
She has Hex Hammer, which I don't even know what that is.
It is whenever an enemy model casts a spell in her control area, that model, after the spell is resolved, takes D6 points of damage.
D3 points of damage.
Oh, that's even worse. I was going off memory.
She has Ignite, which is a really good, like, it's a pretty good spell.
Yeah. Standard on Minoth.
Yeah, plus two to melee attack damage rolls.
Immolation?
What does that do?
It's a nuke. It's a poopy nuke.
It's just Pow 12.
Yeah.
Range 8, Pow 12 nuke that costs two. Wall of Fire, which is just a fire template that's a wall.
Yep, and it, models that go into it take a power 12 fire damage roll, and models in the wall gain concealment.
In the wall? What about behind the wall? Do you still gain concealment?
You gain jack crap.
That's pretty bad.
It's actually pretty good, because you can
place it in front of like a warjack or her.
And make them immune to weapon master charges.
Yeah, I understand.
Well,
some weapon masters without reach.
No, because you can put it like 4 inches in front of the Jake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's more so like not super high armor, right?
Her feat is called Scorched Earth. Enemy models currently in Fiora's control area suffer the fire continuous effect.
You know what? I want to play against feat. This. I want to play against her with Maelok because her Maelok's like feat is like a hard counter.
To her turn them all incorporeal. Yeah, there's
incorporeal.
Well,
I mean, that's not a hard... Because they get set on fire,
they
and then
still
you
take
them.
Yeah, so you take a pow... My pow 16, my arm 16, arm 18 gators take a pow 12 weapon... I mean, a pow 12 fire...
after they've already been damaged because they're in Fiora's feet, so that means their army is probably up there.
Wait, are they arm 18?
They're arm 16.
If they're engaged, they're 18s.
Yeah. I don't... I mean, Colin, this is
Maelok,
a... Colin, you said this is like a meh feat.
Yeah, because if I'm playing against Fox, he just rolls them all out.
You realize this is actually like...
A really good feat.
Third best Menoth feat.
Yes, you're right. This feat is terrible against me.
No, it's like the third best Menoth feat, because it's like Pekrios, who was the second? Oh, it's like Pekrios, then Harby, and then probably this guy.
Yeah.
Gal.
Well, okay. When I think about a feat, or anything in this game, basically, I think, okay, will it affect me when I play against Fox? Yes or no?
Just Fox?
It's a feat that reads...
I go Fox first, because I play against him.
It's a feat that basically reads two-thirds of, like, small base warrior models in your control area die.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Sure.
That's a pretty good feat.
That's part of the reason why I don't care about it, is because I don't play small base warrior models.
Yeah, but you were talking about bringing Bogtrots.
Gator's taking Pow 12s is still pretty good.
It is.
That's a cool
stunt. Just think about those bile thralls. Oh, yeah.
Light all the bile thralls on fire. And I get my cat.
So what do you think you normally see in her list? So does she actually want to take things that cause fire? Or
no.
Does she even care?
No.
She's not like Epic Fiora.
She's probably,
like Epic Fiora.
Also, in Epic Fiora, I don't really care to bring things that cause fire either.
Yeah.
So,
like, what about
she does,
like, Bengers for Ignite? So, like,
I
okay,
hate
what's your Ignite like target then? The Avatar?
Just
Daughters don't
Warjacks.
Seem bad, right?
No, they do.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't they have two attacks?
Yeah, but they're pound nine or like
sacred
warded.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, TFG are obviously really good with her.
Yeah, that's probably fine. The issue is that she does, like, literally nothing to help her army other than Ignite.
Yeah.
So, all the things in her army need to be pretty, like, autonomous. Which Menoth is actually bananas at doing, because they have, like, the best Warjack support in the game.
Yeah,
Zealots are fairly autonomous. TFG kind of are. Like, they're a really cheap, dirtly screen unit.
And under her, they're a lot better for not fleeing. Yeah, I mean, because they're only Command 8.
Usually you see the Standard Bearer brought with them.
Doesn't the UA just make them fearless?
I know they have a mini feat that grants them terror. I don't remember if that mini feat also grants them fearless. That is actually hilarious how many things are terrifying in this game. They're like, I'm going to scare you. Oh, I pulled my pants! Like, there's so much stuff that does that.
I thought terror gave you, like, automatic fearless. For
a lot of people think that, and it sure doesn't.
No.
It does not do that.
That's a little silly.
Yeah, yep. Unusual. It's models in this unit gain terror and melee weapons gain fire continuous effect. It's like, boo!
At least they don't gain, like,
whatever that other. Yeah, I'm dying here.
Okay.
The what?
Abomination. Boosh.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
So right. They'd scare themselves?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
So, I mean, she's
the worst design minifee in the game.
See, I thought that was kind of the point, because I always see Abomination models, and I don't think see them ever having Fearless. Maybe
Most
maybe.
Of them are, like, undead or something like
or
that.
Or they're, like, solo models.
Yeah.
My Doom Reavers aren't.
They're Fearless.
I don't know if I remember seeing
Theme Force fearless. Actually isn't they're that fearless. Awful.
It's the little...
No, I understand what the model was. The Red Baron. Symbol was. Yeah. I just don't remember seeing the symbol on it. But
so, yeah, things that are fairly self-reliant. The battle engine is probably really fine with her.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean,
that's a horrible model. No one should ever play it.
Like, that's the thing is, every time I build a Menoth list, it's like a very similar list to other Menoth lists.
I've made that complaint multiple times.
Yeah.
About why
that's why
didn't
I jumped out
with.
Of that faction.
Yeah,
so, pirates, right?
Ooh.
Hey, actually, it is Fox, friendly. Fox it might says be friendly. Ignite is friendly.
Ooh, an inspiration. Sea dogs.
Wait, what?
I was
but
kidding,
setting,
Nick.
Setting everything that is engaging your sea dogs on fire and seeing how many of them evaporate before your sea dogs do more work?
I don't know.
No.
she's actually probably... She's a pretty sick engine of destruction caster. She becomes a speed 8, mat 10, pow 17 with 2 attacks. It's pretty gross. Actually, it could be higher if you ignited yourself.
What's their caster attachment?
It is a Hierophant. Its abilities are heal your caster for D3. The caster gets +2 on like non-channeled spells. I'm pretty sure it has that stupid rule that spiritual conduit or what's it called? Oh, it's actually called spiritual conduit. Yeah, me. So while this guy's around, their caster gets +2 range on their spells. And then it can heal the caster for D3. And then it has Harmonious Exaltation, where a spell costs one less. Yeah. It's just,
Have we talked about Jax that we're taking with her?
I mean,
Avatar?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Avatar's fine. You could take.
Because
like,
he becomes POW a gajillion.
He gazes, they come into you.
He
and
becomes POW
that spell
23.
Like, or deal POW 14.
That's only Battle Group models, and he's technically not part of the Battle Group.
Yeah, he's POW 23.
Oh, nope. Never mind. That's just friendly.
What is it?
It's better than Saren's spell. Oh, snap, son. The Blazing Effigy spell.
The Blazing Effigy.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually just friendly Warjack. Friendly faction Warjack, sorry.
So, like, I would think, like, a Reckoner would probably be in there because the Flare.
Oh, my God.
Is it still called Flare?
The Reckoner?
Yeah.
Yes.
Gun. Yeah. It's like being able to make things -2 defense when your caster can't help you hit.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, man. That helps. I just have this janktastic idea.
Actually, I was thinking about maybe Bastions. Like making them like, POW 14 Weapon Masters? Or no. Are they POW 12?
They're POW 11, I'm pretty sure. And they're blessed. So they go up to POW 13 Weapon Masters that are blessed.
No, they're POW 12.
Okay, sure.
So POW 12, POW 14, Weapon Master is blessed.
Generators.
And Crit Ignite.
Yeah, so Bastions actually seem pretty legit.
Something that actually I just realized is if you can make her battle group very minimal, you could actually get a lot of play out of Blazing Effigy. Because it's basically just like, cast a spell. Like, that Warjack gets to combust.
Yeah.
And it's you've played Phoenixes, and you know how sweet combust is.
It's even better if you
gaze.
Well,
she doesn't really have anything else to do with her focus.
It's sweet when you can charge and combust.
You can in this list.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
Or just, like, run and combust.
Yeah.
And you can make it range 10, right, with that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could have, like, some, like, Arknode in the list, maybe. Even when there's an Arknode, like your Arknode can just run and then you can combust your Arknode.
Yeah.
No, this is what's going to happen.
Can we call this list combustibles?
Yes. No, this is what's going to happen. Is that this list is going to meet up against your butcher boat.
Oh, God.
And then the Avatar is going to charge a demolisher, kill the demolisher, and then she's going to kill all the solos with a spell.
I don't actually know if the Avatar can actually kill the demolisher.
Pass rank 23, dice -2.
Yeah, I know. Nope.
Doesn't it knock out sides and then armor goes down?
Yeah.
So if the first hit takes out one side?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, kind of needs, needs poor focus.
So the spells that are interesting on her, Engine of Destruction is a very good late-game spell for when you get in the, like, my caster has to, like, kill their caster scenario.
Right.
Or just, like, kill, like, a light or a heavy or something.
Yeah,
sure. Just get you up on points.
That's a good spell.
Hex Hammer is probably irrelevant, but occasionally clutch if you're playing against, like, Ron. No, because you'll still just die to Ron. So it's clutch if you're playing against, like, Druids, I guess. Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah.
Well, because Ron will be like, oh, what? My dudes take D3 points of damage? Cast. Pull your caster. My mage died. Oh, well. Drag your caster. My
now
mage
it's out of my
died.
Way.
Drag your caster. My mage died. Drag your caster. My mage died. Oh, look, your caster's dead.
Yeah.
So that spell's, like, irrelevant. So her spell list is Ignite, basically, Wall of Fire, which is kind of cool, and then Blazing Effigy. So I feel like if we try to, like, minimize her battle group some way and then just bail, like, non-battle group models and just plan on casting Blazing Effigy, that might be a sweet list.
Oh my gosh, the Avatar can gaze them into the Wall of Fire. It's like, Wall of Fire, gaze.
Or
all right.
Just, like, not walk.
I don't know.
Sure, yeah, they cannot walk, you're right.
You play, like...
That's a thing.
I think there's actually, like, enough... people are going to, like, rant at me about this non-battle group idea, but... I think there's enough Jax and Maloth now that are, like, sufficient enough that you can run these lower focus casters. Because there's the stupid one that just gets a bunch of focus for free from guys dying around him. The Sanctifier, I think, is what it's called. There's the Avatar. And now we have a Junior to run things on.
Oh, yeah.
I see. You always run Tristan, yeah.
Yeah.
Tristan.
I like the idea of running a Villagent up into their army.
I don't like the idea. I don't like the
a vigilant.
Here, have a village in.
Like you
three pie one day.
Oh, it actually does say village in.
You just set up a branch right in the middle of the field. And
why?
Like,
that's happening.
Why
that
a vigilant and not like a not bad Jack?
This is still arm 21.
Why that Jack and not only, anything else?
It's only 4 points.
Remember, Adam, this caster doesn't have synergy.
You know what else is 4 points? Repenters.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I don't know. This is a caster. I think she could probably see.
Oh, God. I need to talk to John about this Blazing Effigy non-battle group plan.
I know. He built a list with her.
You can cast two Blazing Effigies a turn. Nope. You're a focus short. Dang it.
Okay.
Dang it.
Well.
No, wait. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Yes. Because you just put in the Hierophant racks, and then you just Blazing Effigy two non-battle group models a turn, and you're just like, kaboosh, kaboosh.
All right.
This is legit.
Yep.
This is the nuts.
Yeah. All right. Well, John built a list a while back to actually beat the Meat Mountain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until you said Meat Mountain, I thought it was...
Wait, why was her?
I don't know. We're going to have to get... We're going to have to,
so,
like...
Does he not know what the Creel Stone does?
Shut down.
I don't think he built this list to beat the Meat Mountain.
I remember talking about it on the way to the Mayhem Cup.
Because the Creel Stone makes all friendly faction troll models
immune to fire
continuous effects and corrosion continuous effects.
Yeah.
Cancel your feet. Seems good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe he was on the Blazing Effigy train.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
Probably it.
Me too.
Like, are they? Can she boost the Pathwells?
Yeah, it's 14.
This is a really terrible train.
Oh,
14.
Yeah.
14s, and yes.
It
yes,
sounds
you
like
can.
A non-user friendly train.
Yeah, that'll just kill a warder when it's... I can't even finish my thought.
Yeah, that
will kill a warder at all.
She has enough focus to like boost a bunch of...
I don't know. She's a caster. I think she can probably see more play than she does.
You had on the script here, I think it's a good question. Can her game be played in today's meta?
Well, is the play the double effigy play? Because yes.
Maybe, if you're saying
I think that actually could be legit.
Will that blow up a lot of lists that you're seeing frequently out there? I mean, is it really making up for... Is it affecting a lot
of
matchups?
What are your two effigy targets?
Avatar.
Whatever.
Avatar, and then what else?
Oh, something on Tristan, a Jack Marshall Sanctifier.
Just anything that's not on her.
I mean, you could play a Jack on her.
Well, there's
still.
The only way that you can do something that's not on her would be...
That's what she said.
Like...
Exactly. Ooh. The things I just listed.
Yeah.
The Avatar, Tristan Durant, and like a Jack Marshall running a Sanctifier or something.
Yeah.
Jack Marshall Sanctifier sounds legit.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-focus heavy.
Mm. Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
What? It is.
Well,
yeah, I scoop on this podcast. We out.
I got a question.
Oh, crap.
I got one more question.
What? Hang on. Whoa.
No, we're done. We're done. No. We're done. And I'm pushing it. No, I'm pushing it right now.
I don't dare.
I'm saving you, Fox. God, how great would that be if that was the end, though?
It's like, no, 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 no. Stop. No.
What does the Fox say?
Actually, just have that be the end. It just be, I'm saving you, Fox, and then we just cut to black.
Fox, what does the Fox say?
Dude, don't we need, like, a Legion shout-out on this podcast?
I'll see.
Do and it. That was, what does the Fox say?
You were literally talking all over what did the Fox say.
Yeah, that's
screaming,
fine.
Screaming.
I was intending that, so you will have to cut it out.
That's what? Right. You made that plan a long time ago.
So what does the Fox say, Fox?
Dude, I already said we need a Legion shout-out.
All right.
We need a and Legion shout-out?
Yeah.
Shout-out to Legion!
Yep. They're a faction.
What does the Fox say?
Because we need to talk about them more.
You mean like that character from Mass Effect?
Yes, Nick.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Mm.
Like us on Twitbook.
Give a little shout out to Chili.
And face us on Twit.
I'm trying to do a little shout out to Chili.
Chili's awesome.
Thanks for all the hard work you did at Lock and Load, buddy.
Yeah, man. Pictures look awesome.
Yeah, work.
I know that's not easy to do, but yeah. It was really awesome. I know I kept track of Twitter the entire time.
Did you guys see the Facebook post of John, Tom Guan, and Chili, and then Teammage like right behind him photobombing him?
I did.
It was so good. That was pretty good. That was like my favorite picture out of Lock and Load.
Yeah. Mine was probably of the sandwich, but you know, whatever. All right. This has been Colin.
I'm Adam.
Fox.
Lance.
And Crump.
Oh, and follow and go to the store. Bye.
Yeah.
And go to the store. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it.
So we are doing a
in here.
Yeah, did you appreciate that now? now.
Oh my god.
Start
gosh.
Now.
Start is, now. That, is that the part you thought was going
to
piss
no,
me
this,
off?
No, the part that I like died laughing at was when Fox was just like, oh my god, we're going to have to build this butcher list again. I'm like, no, Fox, fuck you, it's in my goddamn phone. And then Fox is like, well, fuck, sorry. And Colin's like, watch your fucking language. And then Fox is just like, Lance is going to kill the fucking shit out of us.
Yeah.
Like, I started laughing so hard when I...
If those were bleeped, that'd be hilarious.
I might have to do it on this one. Just
oh, my
gosh. Telling the story.
Yeah. No, no. Okay, so... all right, so... On the last Miami thread, or Miami 14 thread... Yeah, that's the last one.
Yep.
Yeah. I jokingly said that we should start a circle, like, betting ring for guessing the correct caster and closest date.
I just don't need to think of a caster crap.
Sort of like a... What are the things that people actually do at work?
Birthing, usually for births.
Okay,
watch
it's not death
stuff on the internet.
That was just like
death
a cartoon
really
I watched.
Yeah,
now it's divorces too.
Just seems like a really
well. That's
bad
also
movie.
Really. Like,
why
how
are we
talking?
What are we
like a
yeah?
Last?
Like okay, so people
date and month of these people are getting divorced, but yeah. It's usually for births. Like if
okay.
the woman's due on you know July 12th, then they'll try to guess how close to that date the birth will actually happen.
All right.
Oh, okay.
So here's the rundown. We are each going to pick a circle caster that either does exist or does not. We may be guessing some random ones that don't exist, and if you somehow come up with the name correctly,
Colin.
Good on ya.
Psychic.
I mean, it's just like my inside instinct.
How sick would it be if you just like are actually just like Maverick Eagleheart, and then like he's spoiled, and it just
you
blows all of our
spoiled
mind.
People's like you just spoiled my decision. You did. Good job.
I mean, if that's your decision, if that is your decision, you're pretty much only guessing a date at that point.
And you're praying that date is right on the money.
If it's actually the caster, like, everyone, literally who plays Circle, literally everyone who plays Circle will start coming to Colin asking
yeah,
for spoilers.
Or psychic advice. Or psychic, advice.
I mean, I already got inside info that from Will Hungerford.
Okay. All right, so
that he's hurt Maverick Eagleheart.
So we're doing this betting thing.
Not Logan, Adepticon.
We're each putting down. How much money are we putting down?
$1.
What? That's lame.
$5.
All right, $5. $5.
$5 is fine. I'm okay with losing that.
Adam, $5.
Yes.
Sure.
I mean, you either lose $5 or win $25.
What?
Or win 20. Half of that? Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Or half if you split it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so how this is going to go is we are each going to. Say a caster that we think will be Circle's next Warlock, since Circle is the only faction who still doesn't know what the heck their next Warlock is going to be. And then the person's going to say a date that they think that that model will also be spoiled on. And the person who guesses the correct caster with the closest date will win.
I'm in.
If there's like a tie, we'll split. And then having the correct caster... takes precedent over having the correct date. So, like, if you have the incorrect caster but are spot on the date it got spoiled, it didn't matter.
Okay.
So, okay. So we're going to roll off to decide who wants to go first.
I don't want
to
go first.
The person
so.
Who gets the highest number decides what they're going to do. So they can either choose to pick first or they can relinquish to the next person now.
Okay. Oh, God, this sucks. Every caster I'm thinking of, I'm just like, no, there's no way.
Yeah, Grail 2. What was it somebody posted? He's like, Grail 2, the suck continues.
The suck continues.
I mean, he needs it, right?
So, all right. So, yeah. Who wants it? I'll just roll first.
Go ahead.
So, I got a 6.
You.
Lance got a 5.
I can't roll above this.
Fox got a 1.
Good. Oh, my gosh.
Adam got a 3.
We can hear it on the podcast.
And Colin got a 2, so it's me, Lance.
I'm last.
Adam.
I'm last.
Then Colin, then Fox.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, I'm first.
So are you calling or relinquishing?
No, I'm going to call it.
You
all right.
Not guess what I'm going to guess.
I am going to guess Kruger.
Kruger Trey.
What did he do in the fluff?
he fought
a
bunch
no,
of Everblight.
What did Kaya do in the fluff last? She beat up Xerxes, but didn't really take any damage.
Right.
This is probably not her.
Wish I knew fluff now.
I can tell you all the circle fluff if you want.
It could just be anybody pick up a horse. They got it.
I mean, I just want to know. I just want to know Baldur's fluff.
Baldur just went
epic. They don't have another.
Well, I mean,
another.
Stories. Because just right. Caster going epic by picking up a
picking
horse.
Up
I thought he recently might have won epic. So I was just like,
yeah, he did. He died and then came back.
Okay.
Right. And that was the same book Grail got released
okay.
in. Dodge. In the Morvana fluff, Chromac kind of got beat to crap.
Oh, that your decision is live. We should have like a
countdown
of time. All right,
fine,
on your draft. All
right, fine. I'm going Krug. Kruger. And
Kruger 3.
The Saturday of Gen Con.
Okay. Why
so
do
that
you
think? will be August 16th.
Okay, why do you think Kruger 3?
You
said you were to justify your choices.
Because in the fluff, one, I love that guy. Two, in the fluff, he's actually like doing a lot of independent things on
mm-hmm.
his own.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last book, there was like hardly any to no mention of him doing anything.
Right.
Whereas like the previous book, he was just like, peace out, everybody. I'm going to go assemble Team Awesome. And then went and got like Cassius and like.
What was your date?
Saturday of Gen Con, the 16th.
Oh, okay.
So, of August. Yeah, that was really because he's a major player.
Sure.
In, like, the fluff of the faction currently, and there was, like, no mention of him in the last book. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Oh, did it already get spoiled? Shoot. No. I guess today and whatever it is.
he's gonna go epic in 2015.
All right.
All right.
So you're wrong.
My choice.
I mean, that could be next year when his model comes out.
Is damn it.
You're right. My right, choice. Let's... Chromac 2 with... Didn't he have World Ender in his hands for a while? When he fought Madrak? He took a hit from Madrak or something like that, didn't he? He got like... No, he almost killed Borka.
Jarl stole his axe and put poop on
it. Yeah, I remember that. But then,
so he's going to epic. He's going epic because he cleaned his axe.
Yeah,
off.
But Chromac fought Borka and almost killed him,
or something. Yeah, like that. Something like that happened where they just like wail on each other.
Yeah.
And nothing happened.
But he almost killed Borka. Like Borka was almost dead. They thought he was dead.
Yeah,
and the reports were coming through that he was super dead. But
By the way, that fluff is hilarious because Chromac can never kill Borka.
Well,
ever.
The new epic version can. I'm going to say it's Chromac 2. And I will say, we don't have a date for the July no quarter?
No. It will probably be the end of July, because the previous no quarter came out at like the end of May.
Gotcha.
So that's...
I'm going to say July 29th. Chromac 2.
All right. Chromac 2, July 29th. I had Kruger 3 on August 16th.
All right.
Adam. It's right. Adam, right?
So
then
I
Colin.
Have
next. Then Colin,
questions.
Then
yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't have time to look this up.
This is like the most a boring thing, actually. I thought this was going to be super exciting.
Did PP ever confirm that the satire or the...
Satyr?
The Satyr Shyman. Shyman. Satyr Shyman.
I mean, you could just talk like you're Irish and you almost pronounce shaman right there.
I mean, it's shaman, right?
Satyr Shyman
isn't in Irish.
Is that German?
Shaman.
What the
hell? I don't know.
So did they actually confirm that that was a beast?
Yes.
100%?
Yes.
They said they were talking about character
beasts. It's a character beast and they flashed a picture of it. So yes, it's a beast.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was it or not. Because initially I was hoping that maybe that would be something different.
Also, I can't hear you very well.
So... Screw it. I'm going Grail.
That's my
two.
Pick.
That's the worst bet ever.
Grail 2. If it's Grail, I will poop myself.
I was just like, I'm picking Grail.
So he's guessing Grail, so what's the date? Because that's all you're relying on.
Wednesday before DICON. I mean, not DICON.
Wednesday
before
Gen Con.
Okay, so August 13th.
I was going to say Grail because I wanted to see people rage at him keeping Storm Ranger.
I suppose fine.
Yeah, I know.
It's just nothing else about him is fine.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh, it's me.
Yeah, it's you, Colin.
I'm going to go with Maverick the Eagleheart.
So you're guessing a date then. Okay.
I mean, that's effectively what my brother just did. Like, it's a Grail title. Hey,
Will Hungerford said that he's heard Maverick the Eagleheart. He knows that this character exists.
Right. Yeah.
Maverick the Eagleheart.
He said crippling grass would be totally fine in circle. He may have said that very sarcastically.
Is it fine in cricks?
Yeah.
Is the spell fine, period?
It's fine in minions.
It should not be an upkeep. It should just not be an upkeep. Be fine.
That way they can put it on 12 models.
12 I'm kidding. Okay.
Of course you don't have
Fury. I'm going to guess...
Just guess, like, rando date in the middle of, like, nothing. They're just like, and on a Tuesday.
St.
Like.
Patrick's Day, 2018.
June 2nd.
It could be on a random, like, Tuesday, because the insiders, those come out on, like, Tuesdays, right?
My thought is actually my thought is it might be a week before Gen Con.
Maybe. My brother guessed the Wednesday of Gen Con, or, like, the Wednesday before the con starts.
I'm going to guess Friday of Gen Con.
So that will be August 15th.
Wait, I almost thought that Friday,
like,
for mine.
Is this like...
I was just going with the store guess.
Is this like the Price is Right?
It's the closest.
Oh,
it's not going over.
It should be the Price is Right. You guys suck.
What happened with Mosar in the fluff?
Nothing, really.
Nothing.
The last time he was mentioned in the fluff, it was in Domination, where...
Okay,
like,
so he's Mordekar, in for, like, a re-up.
Mordekar was walking towards, like, a ley line key point.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was, like, Mordekar and Xerxes.
And they're like, he must not reach the ley line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like, Baldur 2 and Kaya 2 and Grail are, like, fighting off this Scorn army. And, like, Mordekar is just getting closer and closer. And, because, like, Mordekar and the fluff, like, all druids can, like, perceive him. Because he's just
a
walking void,
yeah,
like,
sure,
crack in the earth.
Yeah.
Where just, like, demons are coming through and stuff. And so, like, Mosar actually just hates the heck out of that guy. And so...
Surprise.
Yeah, look at that guy.
So the last time he was mentioned in the fluff, like, Circle was, like, losing the battle on the ley line. And then he, like, just cracked, like, a hole in the ley line and he popped up. And then two battle engines cracked into an existence behind him. And then he just banished Mordekar into the middle of the desert.
Oh, okay.
Like, was just, like...
Be
gone. Two battle engines and me banish.
I really
want
to see Mosar.
I really want his theme force. To, like, if you take two battle engines, you can just, like, banish a model.
Yeah. RSP a model at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Just like that is gone.
No, my caster.
It would say non-war. It would say banish target Mordekar. I just, like, sit across him, calling with that theme force. He just 100% can't tank Mordekar.
But we're playing that in hardcore, so screwed.
You are not.
So, Mosar wasn't really mentioned in the fluff in the last book.
Do they usually get mentioned in the fluff if they're going to go epic?
It's actually kind of random.
Okay.
So a lot of times when people do go epic, it's because, like,
something
Xerxes, they just got
crippled.
In some... Yeah, basically they got crippled and became stronger than ever.
They plan the models first, and then they do the fluff afterwards.
Well,
Mosar
is,
like,
already crippled, right? He's blind.
He's crippled.
So he might... Anyways,
he can
whatever.
See now.
I'll say I don't really care. I'll say Mosar 2.
I hope it's
Mosar. I'll say Mosar
2. Mosar 2, what date?
I think he's awesome. What was his date?
So the dates so far are August.
What, no, hit just his.
August 13th, which is the
okay.
The
Wednesday
of Gen Con.
Okay, so I'll go August 12th.
All right. So that's it.
Adam, you're supposed to stare at
me.
I
want to say, I think, I'm thinking about it now when he was talking about Mosar. I'm like, oh, I messed up what I thought I should have. I think they could do a new caster, and they could do that other omnipotent that they don't. That they.
Oh, Lordis?
Yes.
Oh, God.
They could do.
So, well, there's other.
That'd be really cool.
Who's the other one?
I'm doing that as an honorable mention. I don't plan on getting paid out for it if it is him, but I think it could be him.
Yeah, that would actually be awesome. But there's no mention of him in the fluff, so it'd just be from, like, left field.
Yep.
There's another one. I can't think of his name, though.
Yeah, all
the other one's lame.
Yeah, all the omnipotents that are out there that they talk about and that are all listed in the Circle book.
There's
but
only
they
three.
They don't have casters.
It's Mosar, Lordis, and. Dirtly McDirtle. I don't remember his name.
I just want to say...
The last one's, like, in charge of the wolves of Ouroboros, which is why I don't care about him.
Right. For the record, my actual guess is Cro-Mac.
Do you want to change yours to Lordis and have Colin change his to Cro-Mac?
Sure.
If he's changing his to Lordis, I'm going to change mine to Lordis. I'm kidding.
No,
I'm sticking with Mosar.
You can change yours to something legit, though.
How is that possible?
My homie in the desert.
Yes. I will allow for Colin to... Can we allow Colin
yes.
to
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
What do you think?
No.
You're the
How about
vote.
Cro-Mac the Eagle Heart? That's what it has to be. It has to be Cro-Mac, comma, the Eagle Heart.
Yeah, all right.
I get a half a point if it's Cro-Mac.
Yeah, like the payout's like you get a third and the other person gets two thirds.
It's honestly going to be Grail.
I hope it is.
It's really going to be great.
Yeah, I hope he redeems himself somehow.
Okay. So what joke are we doing?
Oh, crap. Oh, man. We don't want
my
get,
headbutt joke?
We don't want to get the listeners involved. There's got to be some sort of way
we should do the bear joke. That's really bad.
We should get them involved in this somehow. Like, the person who's closest without going over and has the correct caster gets, like, a template set.
Just like, how can we offer that?
No, we would take our...
Oh, we pay for it?
That's not going to work.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, listeners, you get nothing. Suck it.
You get the pride of being right on the forums.
I mean, that's a lot on the internet.
Sure is. Good on you.
I measure everything I am by the internet.
You can win the internet. Like, at midnight.
Mm-hmm. Is it bad I heard you say I measure and I immediately thought penis? I measure.
Did you do that earlier today?
I measured my penis, yes.
Got a penis on the mind and on the hand.
For some reason when we for some reason when we podcast, I just think of penises.
Oh, God. I remember that one time.
It's side because of the mic, isn't it?
You remember that one time?
It's because of the mic.
Side story, and Lance will probably have to cut this out. But
oh, yeah.
I mean, you could probably leave it in. So
why
we,
tell it then?
No, it was the time where we went to our friend Ginger John's house because we were going to, like, go
his name is Ginger John?
Well, his name is John.
Every ginger person's name, so nickname is Ginger, let's be honest.
No. Yeah.
It is.
Well, because we know so many Johns.
Name and her name's Ginger.
But we only know one.
Ginger?
Yeah. Ginger John.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, fair enough.
So we showed up to... What were we... We were, like, going to go to, like, a bar later or something. I forgot exactly what we were doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wasn't he just having... He was having people over.
Yeah,
let's just say that's the story.
I thought we were just playing, like...
So, whatever.
Doing something
like your battle reports, so we, like, but you're telling an anecdote at the same time.
Okay,
it's fantastic.
Fine, you'll fix it. So we go to my friend Ginger's house, Ginger John's, and...
Wasn't it?
We're hanging out...
See, that's like being like, yeah, we went to my friend Black John's house. Like,
is it?
Like, why
he
would you
nicknamed
say John?
Himself.
Why would you say John?
He
nicknamed
himself.
Nicknamed himself the Nig.
Which is why I call him that.
Anyway.
Unacceptable.
I'm keeping some of this.
Okay, so.
That's all right, go ahead.
Start over. Starting now.
Anyway, so we go over to my friend
uh-huh.
John's house.
Sure.
Just leave it out this time.
Yeah.
Damn it, Colin!
Just
they
go.
Must know he's a ginger.
Because so, he's having a house party, and we're, like, helping him set up and everything. And, you know, we basically get everything done, and we just all sit down on the couch.
Sure.
And, like, John turns, like, the lights off, and he's some colored dude. So he's got, like, you know, like, random, like, disco balls that shoot colors out
right,
and, like, black
right.
lights and stuff because that's cool.
Right.
And we're just sitting and, like, talking. I'm sitting next to my friend Matt, and he's, like, talking with his hands like he's an Italian or something.
Sure.
And... What? That's a Wendy's commercial. It's not racist if Wendy's does it.
It's ginger Matt.
God damn it.
Yeah, he's ginger, and we don't call him that. Like
the more times you can't get through the story, the more interested I am as to why
Jesus
the hell this
Christ.
Has anything to do with what Colin just talked about.
It doesn't.
It's getting less and less the more and more we start interrupting
okay, great.
Nick. Like,
please stop interrupting him so we can get through this.
The further and further away we get from that.
All right, Jesus. So we help him freaking set up for this party. And, like, the last step in setting up for the party is turn the lights in the house
right.
off, turn some black lights
yeah.
on, turn some, like, random disco ball things
I'm
on.
I'm following you.
And we're just chilling, talking, like, drinking some beers.
More importantly, the black lights. Anyways,
and my friend's, like, waving his arms around when he's talking. Because normally people, like, move
right.
their hands and bodies
they're
and
vocal
stuff when they're talking.
And, yeah.
If they're Italian.
And I'm sitting to his... and I'm to his left, and I notice in his left hand, it's mostly, like, the purpley color from the black light. But there's, like, this... From where his thumb makes a corner with, like, his index finger down his whole hand to the other side where it meets the pinky, there's, like, this strip of bright whiteness. And as he closes his hand around the rim of his thumb and index finger, there's also a distinctly brighter area. And I was just like, Matt. He's like, what? And I'm like... Dude, look at your hand. And he just, like, looks at it. He's just like, well, that's weird. I wonder what caused that. And I'm just like, do you? Do you wonder?
Well played, Matt.
And so, like, we're just like, oh, my God, dude, that's
he's
so
like,
gross.
Ew, Matt,
like,
gross.
Do you wash your hands or something?
He's like, it's so.
He's like, it's so. He starts playing it off. And then after, like, 10 minutes, he's just like, all right, yeah, I did it before I came here.
Jeez.
Oh, so good, though.
Well, it was worth it, I guess. You got to the end. Of,
yeah.
As did he, I guess. all right, so what Joker are we doing?
Let's just go with that and just say yeah and move on.
You might say Ginger Matt had
what the
his.
What the Ginger Matt? Oh, God. I'm going to start calling you White Colin. And it'll seem, like, really racist because that implies that there's a black Colin.
Well, his hair is brown, so it's Brown Colin.
I would
Which
say
seems even more racist.
No, like, what you should say is American Colin versus Australian Colin.
We do need a way to figure out.
James Morehouse just sent me a text. He said, James Morrison, come on.
Yeah.
He's already telling you.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
that's pretty good.